Wow, that's quite a policy.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Thursday morning.
Are you guys like I am?
No.
Nope. Just... Sorry.
That's it.
Go ahead. Finish your sentence. And just surprised that this show is on the air every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, every day when they let us in front of the microphone, I think, what are they doing?
Yeah.
How have they not learned at this point? Why are we still allowed to do a show?
No one really controlling this thing, right? This giant ship we're on.
That's true.
It does seem like we're the passengers on a plane, and the pilot had a heart attack and died, and the plane is just kind of just going through the air right now, just waiting to crash. But you're right. There's nobody up there grabbing the wheel, Lisa.
Just waiting for it to run out of gas. That's it.
What's your level of interest in the opening ceremonies of the Olympics tomorrow?
I love them, but for different reasons than most people.
What's your reason?
They always try to do way too much. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but they try to encapsulate it like...
The whole history of the country, usually, right?
The world, first of all, and then the country. So basically, it starts with the beginning of mankind. Maybe even dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs,
they go back
yeah.
To. And then they try it, and they fail miserably. And it's awesome to hear them try. I love watching it because of what they try to bite off is way more than they can chew.
I think most people tune in for the same reason, though. They tune in for the spectacle, don't you think, just to see how big it can be?
I guess, but I like to laugh at how short they fall of their goal.
Boy, I sure wouldn't want to have to follow the Beijing opening ceremonies.
Now with all those slaves banging on the drums? Yeah.
Those were unbelievable. Yeah. It seemed like they had a cast of 100,000 people in that stadium.
Remember that? You know?
They're all enslaved, but still.
Right. Do you remember when they had those fake fireworks?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, like, footprints or whatever they were going from...
That's right.
I don't remember that.
It was a big scandal because they had all these fireworks in the shape of a foot as it kind of walked across the town. And then later they found out it was just through CGI.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Awesome, right?
That's an interesting discussion is whether you should be allowed to CGI your Olympic opening ceremonies for television.
Right.
You wouldn't
interesting.
Think so. I think the Danny Boyle aspect is what makes me interested.
Because he's unbelievably creative, right?
Yeah. I don't know who he is. Is he the guy in charge of this one?
Yes.
And the famous director who did Slumdog Millionaire and Trainspotting 127 Hours. Yeah, he's doing the ceremony. And some of the stuff that I've heard is crazy. At one point, apparently, it does involve... an army of Mary Poppins going up against Voldemort.
Yeah. Okay, see, right there, I'm in. Just because the absurdity of it.
They've been really secretive, right? Are they always that way?
Always.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
They do not want you to know.
There's livestock involved. The Queen of England is scheduled to make an appearance.
Oh, I hope she goes down.
How dare you?
I hope by that you mean?
I hope some livestock runs her over.
Because that would be amazing if Danny could get that to happen.
Yeah. It would. Be great news for Prince Philip, too, come to think of it. But I don't know. I've just been thinking about the Olympics a lot. I've had the Today Show on all week as they're starting to do preview. But let me do one quick Olympic story real quick, and then we'll get going on today's Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. And I want to know if you guys think the right decision was made in this case. She is a very attractive, very talented triple jumper for Greece. She is 23 years old. Her name is Pereskevi. I'm going to say this wrong. Pereskevi Papachristou.
Okay.
She was part of the Greek triple jumping team for the Summer Olympics. Well, on Sunday, she tweets... this statement. With so many Africans in Greece, at least the mosquitoes of West Nile will eat homemade food. Now, that's maybe not the best job in the world, but it's the best joke in the world.
Yeah, that's her trying to be funny. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Saying, hey, West Nile, they're going to be at home because there's lots of Africans in England right now, right? I mean, you could argue that it's racist because it has sort of a race base to the attempted humor. I don't think it's particularly funny, but I also don't think it's, hey, you know, kill everyone in the universe either.
No, of course not.
Kicked off the team, fired by the Greek Olympic Committee. Yeah, showing no respect for basic Olympian value. I mean, granted, she's only 23 years old. She'll probably have another shot to come back. But you know what it takes to get on an Olympic team to represent your country. You know how difficult it is to be selected in any sport.
Although I don't know how many triple jumpers there are in the world.
I don't either. Should she be kicked off of the Olympic team for that tweet?
I don't think so. I think they should take her tweet away. Like, that's it. You're done for the Olympics. No more tweeting.
But you know the world we live in of political correctness, particularly when it pertains to race. Anything that has the hint of racism gets you in big trouble these days.
But I hate that political correctness. And what they do is they hear the word black and they go, oops, nope, She's out.
Right.
And then no one really thinks it through.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really look at her joke, she wasn't saying anything about black people except for the fact that they were in Africa where the West, you know, where the West Nile virus is or the West Nile the mosquito is. And now they're in England. I mean, it was just a geography joke more than it was a race joke as far as I can see. She wasn't saying anything bad about anybody. Right.
I don't think so.
It's hard
to tell, but.
Would you have kicked her off the team? Would you have fired her if you were with the Greek Olympic Committee?
Let me ask one qualifying question. Hot?
Yes, she's hot. Yes, she is. She is hot.
I'm just kidding.
I would like to express my heartfelt apologies for the unfortunate and tasteless joke I published on my personal Twitter account. I'm very sorry and very ashamed for the negative responses I triggered. I never wanted to offend anyone or encroach human rights. My dream is connected to the Olympic Games. I cannot possibly participate if I do not respect their values. Therefore, I could never believe in discrimination between human beings and races. I would like to apologize to my friends and fellow athletes who I may have insulted or shamed the national team, as well as the people and companies who supported my athletic career. Finally, I would like to apologize to my coach and my family. That's what she says. So she'll be watching it home on the TV.
Wow.
Oh, after
I don't know.
That's
after all
work.
Of that and just a one-second tweet. I don't know, man. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction, too. But I guess if you're Greece, you just don't want any kind of controversy going in. You don't want her to be the athlete that everybody is pointing out and following and talking about. I mean, maybe it's just to get the distraction off your home country. Maybe.
And they talked to the coach, and he said, you know, fourth at best. It's okay.
Yeah. You could be right, Lisa. That could be what's going on behind the scenes.
She's not great. Let's let her go.
Anyway, interesting story, I thought. Yeah. We need to see what happens.
Speaking of the Olympics, by the way, the opening ceremony is tomorrow night. How about that? Let's talk about today's Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
I hope this doesn't bother you, but I've been imagining what you look like naked.
I kind of like that. Ashley Ricards from the show Awkward is on the program today.
Yep.
She'll be in the studio. We have Vince Vaughn on the program today.
Wow.
Talking about Watch.
That was
long time.
Fun.
And another TV show that he's working on for TBS, I want to say. You played pranks on somebody, although I think we might need to change that, Bean. I wonder if other people have been fired because of their tweets.
Oh,
I'll bet people get in trouble all the time. You know,
because they said the wrong thing, maybe not even a tweet, but they just said something that got them fired?
No, Twitter.
Just Twitter. Oh, I don't
because
know.
This always happens with Facebook or Twitter or whatever's new, Tumblr, whatever happens to be new. Everybody thinks, well, this is my personal account, so nothing could happen to me. And then all of a sudden they realize, you know what? No, it isn't. It's a public thing, and we're going to fire you.
Yeah. Well, we'll just ask.
Internet Roundup today, and we have your tickets for Total Recall, the world premiere.
Awesome.
How about that? Along with Dr. Drew. That's all coming up this morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.
Fill it in.
Boy, this morphed quickly from rumors to an affair to an actual admission of an affair.
Well,
this Kristen Stewart story is moving fast.
Yeah, it was the photos. I think if you're going to cheat, don't have a professional photographer set up there right in front of you.
Right.
Because that seems to really seal your doom.
There were a lot of, millions of distraught Twilight fans around the world who just, they don't even want to live in a world where Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson are not together because that's their king and queen. And there were a lot of websites over the past few days who were taking these photos apart and trying to prove that they were Photoshopped, that they could not be real, and that the whole thing was made up.
Oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
Which
sure.
I love.
Yeah.
But here's just one headline on the story. Kristen Stewart, from Hollywood's highest paid actress to its second most famous homewrecker. Which is a dig at Angelina Jolie, I think.
Sure.
Kristen Stewart yesterday released a statement, guys. I mean, it just seems like yesterday we were still sort of speculating how true any of this was. But she basically admitted it. I'm deeply sorry for the hurt and embarrassment I've caused to those close to me and everyone that has been affected. This momentary indiscretion has jeopardized the most important thing in my life, the person I love and respect the most. Rob, I love him. I love him. I'm so sorry. There was one PR expert I saw yesterday who said, it's the most dramatic statement ever made. Does she think she's in a movie? What's going on here?
By the least dramatic person ever.
Right, exactly, yeah. If you haven't been paying attention, she apparently cheated with the director of the Snow White and the Huntsman movie, who is twice her age, is married, and has two kids. And she, by the way, the scorned woman, the wife, she had a one-word tweet, wow, and then dismantled her account, took down her Twitter account.
Did you see that the wife played Kristen Stewart's mom in that movie?
I did see that.
No.
Yes. Liberty Ross is her name. She
no
played
kidding
in the Snow White movie, right?
So, yeah. So she was acting with Kristen Stewart.
Oh, that's the worst thing I've heard about this whole story.
It's not great. I don't think it's ideal.
The one thing I haven't heard is anything from Rob Pattinson. Is the relationship over? I mean, have we heard that they are now broken up and that she's begging to get him back?
Dude, or is it this tongue.
Or is this a big fight and they're kind of working it out privately for now? I mean, does anyone know the answer to that?
He doesn't say much publicly about anything, really.
No, he doesn't.
But I don't want to live in a world, I agree, Bean, I don't want to live in a world where they're not together.
Those two belong together.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. Kim Kardashian is losing it. Porn star Kim Kardashian, I apologize.
What is she losing?
Well, everything. She tells Radar Online, she tells Radar Online that she is more famous than Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, and Gwyneth Paltrow combined.
What? I hate to say she might be right.
Not combined.
I hate to say she might
Angelina
be right.
Angelina Jolie, are you kidding?
I'm not saying she hasn't earned it. I'm saying she may be more famous at this point, just in terms of exposure. Just in terms of everybody knowing who she is everywhere all the time. I don't know.
Is she worldwide?
I mean, it's a dumb thing. It's a stupid thing to say.
Right.
She certainly doesn't deserve the fame, but she is about as famous as a person can be these days.
I wouldn't put her even up against Angelina Jolie by herself. I think Angelina Jolie would wipe
just
the floor
with
her.
Because of all that she's done everywhere.
Internationally
world,
and everything else. But apparently that's also why her marriage to Chris Humphries broke up, because that wasn't going to help her be more famous enough. So she wanted to trade up.
That's what she said?
Well, no, but that's what the article is suggesting, that she wanted to trade up to Kanye West because he's a much bigger star. And then that, of course, helps her be a much bigger star.
Sure. Hey, I mean, look, Beyonce and Jay-Z were both enormously famous and successful and talented before they got together. Same thing with Brad Pitt and Angelina. Put them together, now you got yourself a supernova. I mean, that is one way to raise your profile even more, is to be part of a very, very famous couple like that.
But does Kim understand that she's famous because of a sex tape?
I don't think it matters anymore what you're famous
for.
I really don't. I mean, people who are famous on a reality TV show get all the same benefits of somebody who's famous because they've actually accomplished something now. I mean, it's weird how it's turned into that, but it has. Here's an interesting 50 Shades of Grey story. That is the book, of course, that will not stop selling. It's far and away the most popular thing in stores this summer at the beach. There's a hotel in Britain called the Damson Dean Hotel where they have replaced the Bibles in all 40 rooms with 50 Shades of Grey.
How could that be worse? Just the Bible.
Hotel owner says he's been thinking about getting rid of the Bibles ever since he purchased the hotel, because nobody ever reads them. Nobody ever cares about them. He said, why not put something in that the guests would enjoy? Something that they would actually use and like and be happy about. As you can imagine, there are people who are complaining. And he has agreed to make Bibles available at the front desk. If somebody wants to ask for one, they will have one available. But for right now, it's 50 Shades of Grey in every room, which I think is hilarious.
Wow. That's sweet. Miley Cyrus apparently was in New York and was at a trade show, a fashion trade show, but a men's fashion trade show, because her man, Liam Hemsworth, apparently wants to get into having his own line of clothing. Can anyone just... Anyone has their own line of clothing,
right? If
you're
famous, you don't have to, like you can.
You don't have to design it. You don't have to...
You just put your name on it if you want.
Just put your name on it. So apparently he couldn't be there because he was shooting somewhere else. So she took his place at the fashion show so that she could give him notes on how to come up with his own clothing line.
Style maven, Miley Cyrus?
Yes.
Yeah. Took notes?
Yes.
Excellent. Can't wait to see.
So that's going to be great.
And she was probably in a tank top and jean shorts at the time.
Right.
This is interesting, by the way. Kevin, I know you hate the Bieber.
I do.
But the paparazzi who was chasing Justin Bieber down the freeway a couple of weeks ago is going to be the first person charged in that new anti-paparazzi law in Los Angeles. City's attorney office in Los Angeles says that 30-year-old Paul Rafe is on the hook with the reckless driving with the intent to capture pictures for a commercial gain. That is a new anti-paparazzi law that has just gone into effect. He is going to be the first person who is going to be prosecuted.
And this is when Bieber was going 120 in his...
His Fisker, yeah.
Fisker. His Fisker.
Exactly, yeah. And remember he said he was doing it to get away from paparazzi. This is the guy who is behind him, I guess. And I think there may also be other charges for general reckless driving and tailgating and things like that.
That's awesome.
It is interesting to see that they are starting to use that. I agree, by the way. And we've discussed this on this show before. I don't know how to solve this problem without impinging on somebody's First Amendment rights, in many cases, like in this one, to be on a public street. But it does seem like it's at the point now where it's becoming
dangerous for everybody.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. The problem is,
but it's Bieber, so the judge should throw it out.
Right. It happens to be Bieber in this case, but it could be you tomorrow,
No one wants pictures of me, though.
You're missing the point.
Oh, okay. Celebrity birthdays, singer, and piece of beef jerky, Mick Jagger, is 69 years old.
Legend, by the way. Maybe the greatest rock and roll frontman of all time, Mick Jagger.
Pretty skinny. Could eat.
Still leather. Yeah.
Actress Helen Mirren is 67. Did I give her a bell? Drummer Roger Taylor of Queen is 63. Kevin Spacey, 53. Sandra Bullock, America's Sweetheart, 48 years old. Jim Lindbergh, formerly the lead singer of Pennywise, 47. Jeremy Piven is 47. And Kate Beckinsale is 39 beautiful years old.
It's almost like it's your birthday, Kevin.
It is my birthday. Thank you, Lisa. And that's the showbiz.
How about Total Recall? It opens a week from tomorrow, August 3rd, in theaters everywhere. You can see it a couple of days before that on Wednesday night, August 1st, at the Grauman's Chinese Theater with the stars. 1-800-520-1067. It's time to play Total Recall.
Total Recall. That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the world premiere of Total Recall. With a chick with three boobs, that's an extra boob. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah!
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Omar, for some reason, is putting, oh, yeah, in every intro that we have.
Yes, he is.
I don't understand.
Why
that.
Is he doing that?
I don't know.
There's no
I
answer.
Don't know. Here's the way the game is played, though. It is called Total Recall. You are going to be asked to recall things. We're going to give you 10 seconds on the clock, and we're going to ask you, we'll just name a category, and you just have to give us five items in that category.
Now, the category is not at all related to the movie. It's just any random category. You give us five things in 10 seconds.
Yeah, and you'll see how it goes as we go to contestant number one to play the game here. Who's first?
Shane is on the line. Hi, Shane.
Good morning. Hey.
All right, Shane, you're playing for the chance to rub elbows with Jessica Biel and Kate Beckinsale next Wednesday. Total Recall is the game. You have 10 seconds on the clock. All you have to do is name for me five stand-up comedians. Five stand-up comedians. Go.
Jane Moore. God, what the hell? You guys have a midget. I can't remember his name. Jason...
Well, that was a quick 10 seconds. So Jay Moore and half of Brad Williams is all you came up with. And by the way, half of Brad Williams is not much. You could have thought of Lewis Black or Louis C.K. or Joan Rogan. I mean, the list just goes on and on, obviously. But thanks for playing. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's move along to contestant two is John. Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Hey,
John.
Good morning.
All right. Listen up. Total Recall tickets, 10 seconds on the clock. All you have to do is name for us five cities in California. Five cities in California. Good luck.
Los Angeles. East LA.
Come on.
Alhambra.
Dude, San Diego, San Francisco, San Diego. Fresno, Bakersfield, Ontario. The list goes on and on.
I like that he went Los Angeles, East Los Angeles.
And then West LA. And then South LA.
Anything else with LA in it?
Chris, hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
How do you guys feel we're doing at giving away the Total Recall ticket?
Not as good, but I'm enjoying this. Okay. I mean, I don't think we're doing it very well.
Total Recall.
All right, Chris, 10 seconds on the clock. Good luck, my friend. I'm asking you to name five animals you might see in a zoo. Five animals you might see in a zoo. Good luck.
A zebra, a bear, a giraffe, a rhino, and a...
And a what?
What was it?
And a what?
Oh! What? I heard four, and then he just quit.
Did you just quit?
I said peacock like seven times.
You didn't say peacock once.
Look, his phone really cut out.
Did it cut out?
Yeah.
Your phone was cut out.
I said parrot and I said peacock.
Okay.
All right. We're going to give it to you. Yeah. Congratulations. We're going to give it to you.
We didn't hear it, but
he was on a roll. I'm pretty sure he had something else.
All right. Plus, I just want to make sure to give away one pair of tickets at least.
All right. You're going. Congratulations. Let's go to Raul.
Yes. What's up?
What's up?
Raul, how do you think the game has been going so far? How have you been doing playing in your head as you've listened to the other contestants?
All I know is I drank my coffee this morning.
All right, okay, good.
He's ready.
All right.
Here you go. 10 seconds for Total Recall tickets. World premiere red carpet with the stars next Wednesday at the Grauman's. Here's your category. 10 seconds. Name five punctuation marks.
A period, a question mark, a semicolon, a colon, and a ampersand.
Yes! Total Recall.
Nicely done.
Ampersand. Nice.
That was, I was expecting apostrophe or quotations or something, but that's unbelievable. Well
done,
sir. I would
bet against ampersand about $100,000. <Yeah. laughs> Nicely done. You're going.
All right. Awesome. We have time for a couple more
here? Sure.
This is fun.
Let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
Yeah, what's going on?
All right, Henry, you know how the game is played by now. 10 seconds for you. I want you to name five Olympic sports. Five Olympic sports. Good luck.
Track and field, swimming, gymnastics, skating, and then running.
He said. See,
he
running,
said track and field.
Running, yeah, running is track and field.
Yeah.
Come on.
Boxing, badminton, shot put, pole vault, table tennis.
Basketball.
Basketball. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We can't do track and field, running, long jump, high jump.
People who walk but really fast.
Right. Let's go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
Yes.
Jesse, you are our final contestant. We're trying to give away these Total Recall tickets. Good luck to you. Five. Breakfast cereals. Five breakfast cereals. 10 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
Total Cheerios, Kellogg's, Honey Nuts, Charmed Cheerios.
What? I don't know what the hell you were doing there. Honey Nut is a Cheerio. Charm is not. I'm sorry.
He said Total, though, which is a Cheerio.
I gave him Total. I gave him Cheerios. But beyond that, I think you were just putting
Kellogg
words together.
Kellogg is just a blanket.
Kellogg is a brand.
And then he said Lucky.
There was, Frosted Mini Wheats or Raisin Bran or Frosted
Flakes.
Do we
have time for one more or no? I don't want to go out on a...
All right. We'll try one more.
Let's try one more.
Right, this is it. This is the last one.
Let's go to Spencer. Hi, Spencer.
How's it going?
By the way, the pressure on this game, I think any of these people, seconds. You give them a minute, they can do it. But 10 seconds, you just know that's counting down fast. Total Recall. All right, Spencer, five planets in our solar system. Five planets in our solar system. Go.
Earth, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn.
Wow.
Pluto.
You get it. Wow.
You got it. Total Recall.
Nice.
Fantastic. Good job.
Say hi to Kate Beckinsale for us on Wednesday, man. Thanks for playing Total Recall.
You didn't say Pluto, did you?
No, he did not.
I did at the end.
You did. Total Recall. Enjoy
the third loop. Right now it's time for the brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can see all of these videos. The first one is the Kroll Show, Chick-fil-A versus Chick Club. And in Chick Club, it's spelled with two K's at the end of the chick and one K at the beginning of club.
Okay.
So it's kind of a play on being offended by their political beliefs.
Look, my brother's gay, so I don't eat Chick Club in front of him. Just like I ask him not to kiss his boyfriend in front of my chicken sandwich.
I'll text my buddies, be like, we gonna get Chick Club? They're like, absolutely not. And I'm like, solo mission.
I love who I am, where I'm from. I just love Chick Club sandwiches, just a little more.
Chick Club.
Marriage between a man and a chicken sandwich.
We're good.
So this is comedian Nick Kroll, who's obviously poking fun of the controversy with the gay marriage in Chick-fil-A by making an even more offensive restaurant. So I'm down with that. I needed either one of them.
Here's a video called Totally Obvious, and this guy's just driving.
Oblivious.
Oblivious, I'm sorry. Wow. That's quite a mistake. Totally Oblivious. This guy drives around a parking lot and asks people if they've seen someone, but he's describing them. He's describing the person he's talking to.
Oh.
I'm looking for a guy that's wearing a blue, Dodgers hat, and the guy that he's talking to is wearing a blue Dodgers hat. And the guy's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
But I'm looking for a lady with sunglasses. She's just took them off and put them on her head, rubbing her eyes, and tan pants.
Pants?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This lady would be carrying a plastic bag in her left hand, more than likely.
Yeah, that sounds like me, except I got the wrong clothes on.
I'll be darned. Oh, yeah, you don't have the clothes I described. Yeah. That's just, okay, hey, thanks. All right.
Most of them didn't even realize he was describing them.
Nope. Hilarious.
It's pretty funny. Aaron Paul, who is fantastic on Breaking Bad, was a contestant 14 years ago on The Price is Right. And you know how they hype you up on The Price is Right? I don't know.
You can't get on if you don't.
You have to jump around like a crazy man. He said he'd been drinking Red Bull all day. He told Jay Leno this. And they had clips of him being on The Price is Right. And listen to how excited Aaron Paul is.
You're the man, Bob!
Aaron, what do you bid on that?
$1,200
$1,200
Bob Barker!
I got to meet Bob Barker.
Oh, my God.
You're the man, Bob!
It's just hard to believe that's little Jesse from Breaking Bad. It's so funny.
This is E.T. the Walrus. The Walrus is making all of these sounds. You'll hear the trainer tell the Walrus which sound to make, and then the Walrus will actually make a different sound for each one. He whistles.
That's amazing.
I can't whistle.
I don't know. There's no way that the trainer is telling the walrus what to do and the walrus is making that sounds. They have to have edited that in afterwards.
No,
they have
of
to
course
have.
He can.
Well, I don't know if they trained him.
You can't make a walrus on command do those things,
I
can
bet
you?
She can.
Did it, Bean.
It's unbelievable the noises this animal makes, by the way. It's unbelievable.
There's also a video up at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at kevinandbean.com called Man Problems, which I would say do not watch.
That's not what you would say at all, Kevin. You would
trust me when I tell you
one thing online today, it must be this video.
I didn't get 10 seconds into it and I stopped.
Well, tell me why it's terrible.
You'll have to...
No, but give me just a...
It's gross.
It's gross?
Yeah.
It's a commercial in Australia... For OxyClean, I guess it's called.
Yes.
Which is pimple cream.
Right.
And Lisa?
Don't watch it.
It is.
Trust me, you don't like it.
It's a supercut of about 50 pimples being popped.
Oh.
It's the grossest thing ever.
Oh,
another.
That's disgusting.
Yes, it's disgusting.
And some they're running them, that on TV there.
Yes, they are.
And you couldn't get through it.
I couldn't get through it.
Oh, my God.
Some of them have... a tiny amount of fluid that comes out.
Some of them,
the face explodes like it was hit by a bullet.
Oh, my God. Really?
Just splatters the bathroom.
That's just not good.
It isn't.
So much juicy stuff coming out of those pimples.
Do not go.
Oh, dear God.
To watch that. But do go to watch AIDS 2015.
What's that?
Which is a Funny or Die video with Zach Galifianakis and Sarah Silverman and a bunch of people. What is life going to be like in 2015?
You know what? In the future, we have hybrid animals, man. It's the dopest. It's the coolest, man. Like an eagle fight. It's an eagle and an elephant.
In the future, boobs are gross. Like, these are so gross. In the future.
In this future, puppies pick up my poop.
Sarah Silverman, Tracy Morgan, just some of the celebrities involved in this funny, very funny or die video. But seriously, there's so much gunk coming out of these pimples.
What's wrong with you? Shut up.
Squeeze.
It's so gross.
Shoots across the room.
Shut up.
Like,
ew.
Honestly. Amazing.
Seriously. Jimmy Kimmel Live, who, of course, is our favorite. He used to work on the show, but we like him anyway, and we like his sense of humor. And he has been having celebrities, when they come through, read mean tweets about themselves.
Oh, really?
So he'll have them sit down. Danny McBride is one of them. Larry King is one of them, and David Spade is one of them. They sit down and read mean tweets about themselves. And Jimmy's trying to prove to people that these people have feelings, too.
So there's a truck getting towed.
That isn't it. That's not the one. This is the highway scare prank on wife. And he's driving down the road. The wife is asleep. There's a truck getting towed, so it's facing backwards. So it looks like you're going to have a head-on with the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband thinks this is a good idea.
So there's a truck getting towed, and it looks like it's coming at us, and my wife's asleep. So we're going to see if we can scare her.
Babe, wake up. There's a truck down.
I'm sorry, it was funny. It was getting towed.
You hear right at the end there, the couple of hits where she's...
She took that camera out.
She took the camera out.
And yeah. I don't
Can
blame
you
her.
Imagine what it was like for her to be asleep in the car and her husband screams. She wakes up and she sees the front of a truck. And he speeds up at the time, by the way. So it looks like it's going to be a head-on collision in about 1 second.
And their kid is in the back.
Not
terrifying.
Funny.
Hilarious.
Not funny.
Oh, hilarious in hindsight.
Not ever funny.
And then he squeezes a pimple right there in the car.
Now,
you can't even believe
Jimmy Kimmel Live, celebrities read mean tweets. First, Danny McBride. Second, Larry King. Third, David Spade.
If Mike Piazza's hair caught fire and someone put it out with a cast iron skillet, you'd have Danny McBride.
Did you know that if you skinned Larry King and ironed out his leather, you could make enough coats to give one to every poor child in America?
By the way, that's a pretty funny tweet, but not with it if you're Larry King.
David Spade. At least this guy just gets right to it.
Matt LeBlanc looks so old. What happened? That should go f*** yourself.
That's a good tweet, too.
So those are funny. And Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in Unnecessary Censorship at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean, later
a lot of shows still ahead today on a Thursday, including Vince Vaughn, one of the stars of The Watch, going to be joining us. Also, Ashley Ricards, who is the star of MTV's Awkward, coming up, and Dr. Drew will be here as well. Is that my friend Anell Rivers?
Yeah.
What's up, Anell? How are you, man?
I got green coming out of my pockets right about now, baby. You ain't understanding how good in the mood I'm in.
Why are you in such a good mood?
I don't know if you guys heard about this, man, but the L.A. City Council voted 14-0. It was a snuff.
What?
To shut down the medical marijuana dispensaries.
What? I did hear that.
And as you guys know...
All of them?
Well, I think there's going to be some exemptions, but the majority of them.
Okay.
Like, the whole city of Pacoima is closed right now.
All right.
Okay? Like, seriously.
Right.
And as you guys know, I am part of the local street dealers 420. You know what I'm saying?
See.
So, you know,
so that's good news for you.
Yeah, as a union employee, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's
been harsh the last like 2 years or so, man. I mean, you know, you got people running around with like, you know, 25-cent weed lollipops or whatever.
Sure.
I'm letting y'all know right now, prices are going up. I don't bake no damn cookies. Okay. Welcome back to the streets, people. That's the way it's supposed to be, man. I don't know. It's crazy out here.
Yeah.
You got, like, you go to certain cities, man. You go to, like I said, Pacoima. You got more medical marijuana dispensaries than hospitals. You know what I'm saying?
It's the way it should be. Keep you out of the hospital.
No, it's not how it should be, man. You should not be able to go in and buy your weed over the counter.
Because then you're out of work.
Support your local dope dealer, y'all. Okay, some of the most honest people I know are dope dealers. Okay, they're just trying to feed their families, man.
Good lesson for the children who might be listening this morning.
That's right, man. You buy your weed from the shady guy in the alley. Do not go into the well-lit, clean store with the state license. You go find.
All right.
Go look
with
two scoops.
With the stuff that's licensed and inspected.
That's right. You go to Venice, okay, and you ask for Shady B, two scoops, or money. Okay, any one of those dudes will hook you up. Okay,
I'd like to meet two scoops.
All right.
Time for the showbiz beat. This
what's
is the
sounder.
Well, that's the normal one. This is the one that Anell prefers to use, and it's Bean saying,
"Girl, holla!" I am still working on getting that installed as my doorbell. Just so you guys know, it is soon, sooner than later. Trust me. Okay, first up, as you guys know, I am the resident Kevin and Bean Jacksonologist.
Okay,
you guys know.
Good. You can explain some of this to us?
Yes. You know, I've been there since day one. I was there. Well, I wasn't there when he died. You know what I'm saying? Allegedly.
I hope not.
I was at the funeral, though. As you guys remember, I was one of the lucky chosen few that got the golden ticket from Michael himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to break down how this works, okay? Okay, for those of you that remember, okay, many, many years ago, before he was a white woman, okay, Michael Jackson made records.
Yes.
Okay, and from these records, he made money.
Right.
And with that money, okay, he bought three white children.
Yes.
Okay. Now, with this, which, by the way, very, very hard to come by. You can buy Asian kids, black kids, eBay all day. Probably go to Amazon.
eBay,
white,
I didn't know
white
that.
Children, you gotta know somebody.
All right.
Okay. So basically, these three white children, man. Well, specifically Paris, who I believe is number two of three. She's revolted, man. It's just a mess. Let me tell you what's going down here. Okay. Catherine Jackson, the matriarch of the Jackson family.
She's Michael Jackson's mom.
Michael Jackson's mama. She getting old. You know what I'm saying? She getting up there.
82.
Years, man. 82. Your mom was down with her mom. I like that. So, yeah. So, make a long story short, Kristen Stewart, just do what all home wreckers do, which is just lay low.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, lay low. Wait for him to get back into the house, and then you can go back to
count your lucky stars. Anyone wanted to kiss you.
There it is.
Move right
along. I'm going to get into some celebrity birthdays here. Okay? We got singer Mick Jagger is 69. How long has Mick Jagger been waiting for his 69th birthday? Seriously.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's probably going to get a big gold 69 chain with a tongue on it.
He was 69 when I was born, though, wasn't he?
I think so.
I mean, he's been old for a long time, but great lead singer.
Yeah.
How many guys his age could still walk down the street and just point at whatever 25-year-old model he wants and get him?
My
That's
dad.
What's amazing.
Just
about
him.
My father.
And Anell's father.
Leonard Rivers. Pip extraordinaire.
Sure.
By the way, if I told you Mick Jagger would outlive Michael Jackson, how soon would I have been thrown out
of
the room?
Keith Richards, too, for that matter. By
yeah,
what are the chances of that?
None. Slim to none. Okay, actress Helen Mirren is 67 and still quite bangable for a sexagenarian, I like to say.
Nope.
You don't think so?
I don't have that category.
She's a beautiful woman.
Thank you. I would give Helen Mirren some of the chocolate pill. You a boy? All right, we're going to disagree on that one. Okay, drummer Roger Taylor of Queen, he's 63. Kevin Spacey is 53. Actress Sandra Bullock is 48. And singer Jim Lindbergh, formerly of Pennywise, is 47. And a lucky Fletcher hasn't killed him yet. Jeremy Piven is 47. Chris Harrison of The Bachelor is 41. Kate Beckinsale, Bellamy.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's 39. And singer Taylor Momsen of Pretty Reckless is 19. Oh. And that's your man, Anel Rivers, with the K-Rock Show Biz, Biz Z. Yo, follow me on Twitter, at Anel. That's A-N-E-L Rivers, just like it sounds. Holler at your boy.
Can I hit the thing now?
Now.
All right, here's the controversy we discussed briefly this morning. Now we're going to get your similar stories. Fired by social media. Fired because of a tweet is the story that is in the news today. And this is a fairly significant story because she is somewhat of a celebrity back home in Greece. She is a 23-year-old Olympian named Paraskevi Papachristou. There's no way I said that right. Very attractive 23-year-old blonde, Kevin. She's got a navel piercing. And apparently she's good at jumping high.
All right.
And jumping over things.
All right.
She was on the Olympic team until Sunday when she tweeted this. With so many Africans in Greece, at least the mosquitoes of West Nile will eat homemade food. Now, apparently there have been a lot of immigrants into her home country of Greece. And her comment was, they're moving from Africa to Greece. Good news for the mosquitoes because that's what they're used to back home in the West Nile region of the country. That's the tweet that she put out. And she was promptly fired by the head of the Greek Olympic Committee, who said that she showed no respect for basic Olympian values. And she has lost her position. And I don't know. I mean, I know she's only 23, but you don't make it to the Olympics unless you've invested a lot of time and sweat into getting on the team. So this has to be devastating to her, right?
They're saying it's racist.
They are saying it's racist. Yes, that is the complaint, is that it is racist.
Because Anel pointed out, she said Africans, and there are a lot of non-black Africans as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Egypt is there in a bunch of different places.
She's not, I mean, this is what's interesting about it. She's not really making a joke about race as much as she's making a joke about geography, about people moving from one part of the world to another part of the world and a mosquito following you. I mean, that's kind of what the joke is. It's not the funniest joke in the world, but is it racist, and B, is it the type of joke that you lose your slot on the Olympic team because of it? Apparently, the tweet has divided opinions in Greece. Here's a politician in the Democratic Left Party who says she can make as many vile jokes as she likes on social networking sites while she watches the Olympic Games on TV. Oh. She certainly cannot represent Greece in London. Meanwhile, hundreds of people have responded on her Facebook page in support of her, saying, "Since when is clever humor a crime?" said one fan. "Making mistakes is human. Recognizing our mistakes demands character and compassion." So, I mean, it's kind of split in terms of whether people believe she should be fired or not, but it kind of brought up the topic. Look, the last thing in this athlete's mind when she went to her iPhone on Sunday was, "I'm going to make a joke on Twitter and I'm going to lose my ability to compete at the Olympics this year." In a million years, she never saw this coming. And that's what happens a lot of the times when people get on social media and they don't realize sometimes there are going to be consequences and repercussions. I know, look, you and I don't have official K-Rock Twitter accounts.
Right.
But if we tweeted something the company decided they didn't like, they would fire us over it.
In a second. But this is absurd. This seems to me like political correctness gone awry. I mean, at least give her a chance to apologize if she wants.
Yeah, give her a chance to apologize.
Which she did.
And then tell her she can't tweet for the Olympics or something.
She did apologize. She immediately sent out the note after she was fired. "I'd like to express my heartfelt apologies for the unfortunate and tasteless joke I published on my personal Twitter account. I'm very sorry and ashamed for the negative responses I triggered, since I never wanted to offend anyone or encroach human rights." And she just goes on and on and on to talk about how proud she is to be an Olympian, and she apologized to her friends and family and sponsors.
How proud she was to be an Olympian.
To be an Olympian, right, exactly. So that's what happened to her. Now we're going to see what happened to you, because let's face it, everybody tries to be funny on their Facebook or on their Twitter, and what's funny to you, somebody else may feel is not only not funny, but offensive and fireable, and those are the stories that we're looking for today.
I'll tell you, that's lesson one that we learned when we started this job, is the most insignificant thing that we say. There's a group out there that wants to be angry about it and will object to it. And if you really take it that seriously, there's no possible way anyone would do anything. I try to make my jokes offensive, and I can't get there. But I'm working on it, and I'm learning. I think I'm making progress.
So you don't think we're going to have any problem finding people who have lost their jobs over what they've written on social media?
No, we've done relationship trouble. Oh, I found out I was being broken up with when I saw his status changed. We've done that recently, but I think it's been a little while since we've done you got fired because of it. You put something on your Facebook. Maybe it was a photo of somebody, boss in the company that didn't like it.
Or you tweeted about your company.
Or whatever.
Client.
Any kind of social media that you went to and then you ended up without a job, that seems bad.
You tweeted about cheating at school.
Sure.
Could be anything.
Could be that.
Yep.
So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Taking your call here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067, referencing this Olympian from Greece who lost her spot on the Olympic triple jumping team because she made a tweet that some people considered racist.
And by the way, she's hot. And if you're having trouble getting people interested in the Olympics, which I think they do at times,
yeah,
don't get rid of the hot chicks.
That's an excellent point.
You know.
By the way, beach volleyball, apparently the hottest ticket going.
Is that right?
For the Olympics this year, yeah. Have you seen some of the competitors for the beach volleyball
teams
around
not,
the world?
I have not, no.
My God.
I'll do some research, though.
Let's take some calls from you, including Jesse here on line 4 to get us started on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're looking for how social media got you fired. It happened to this Olympian from Greece. What did you tweet or Facebook that ended up helping you lose your job? Jesse, thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on, man. What happened?
How's it going, party people?
Good.
First of all, it was, just to get us started, it was annual review time. So I was in my boss's office getting my review.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I walked out, I've been sitting for about a good 30, 45 minutes discussing my job performance and everything. While I was fixing my shirt, retucking it back in, it was all messed up. So when I got back to my desk, I tweeted, "Hey, just got a raise, yeah, buddy," with the wink face on it. Well, one of my coworkers saw that and saw the tweet, saw me tucking my shirt back in, and thought that I was having sex. So told another coworker, another coworker, then it got back to the supervisor. And asked if I tweeted that. Well, yeah, I did tweet that. And she said, "Well, everybody's taking it as me having sex with you, this and that. That's not good for me or for you. I'm sorry, but because of all this, I have to let you go.
I've made my decision. You're fired."
Okay.
Wow.
So you told the story poorly, but my impression of what happened was this, is that you tweeted how you got a raise. Some people saw you tuck into your shirt and thought that you were making a reference to having sex to get that raise.
You were earning it.
And therefore, you got fired because of that.
Exactly.
That's absurd.
That is crazy. Did you fight it?
Oh, I fought it. I fought it tooth and nail. It was a decent job, but they saw that and they pulled the rule book out and they didn't exactly fire me for that. They fired me for using my cell phone on business time.
Ah, wow. That's just an excuse. They wanted to get rid of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
let's be honest.
They,
all right,
all right
Jesse, we can't continue with you. I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening. You're the best. Never call us again. Let's try John, line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Fired because of a tweet or a Facebook post. John, hi, you're up. Go.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
Last summer, I was working at the airport, and in the morning, we'd have to do security searches of the planes, just check them out and all that. And I thought it'd be funny to hop up in the overhead bins and do a quick plank and put it on Facebook. 3 days later, my boss calls me into his office, shows me it, and says, "Security breach," and got to let me go.
Security breach because you were planking on a plane?
Planking in the overhead.
But you worked for the airline. You had the authority to be on that plane, right?
Yeah.
I saw planking in the overhead last night at the Troub. They were really good.
Dude, that sucks. Did you get any severance or anything like that, or did this make you just walk out, pack up your stuff, and leave?
It was they just recently went from union to non-union, so we were non-union, so I just said screw it, and I left.
Oh, dude, that hurts. Although, planking, pretty dumb, right?
Yeah, I mean, you deserve it
for planking. It a little bit, right?
Let's be honest.
Thank you, John. Eddie is up next. Eddie's on line 6 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie, thank you for calling. What's going on, dude?
All right, okay, so I was working at this, it was a bar slash like restaurant in Santa Monica. I worked from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. as a guard.
Okay.
So I had a lot of time to kill. So
sure.
I made a pie chart that said 1% rather be at my job, 99% rather put a fire out with my face.
Okay.
And my boss
your boss saw that as a negative?
And then he called me into the office and said, I noticed that there was a file on this. I was like, I was doing something for a band. I was trying to lie to him about it, but he was just like, you're full of crap, and you know, you can pack your stuff up and go.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess there are bosses that don't want you to tweet negative things about the people who are paying you, I guess. But I certainly understand the temptation to want to tweet those things. Just sorry it didn't work out for you, dude. All right, here's the controversy we discussed briefly this morning. Now we're going to get your similar stories. Fired by social media. Fired because of a tweet is the story that is in the news today. And this is a fairly significant story because she is somewhat of a celebrity back home in Greece. She is a 23-year-old Olympian named Paraskevi Papachristou. There's no way I said that right. Very attractive 23-year-old blonde, Kevin. She's got a navel piercing. And right. Apparently she's good at jumping high.
All right.
And jumping over things.
All right.
She was on the Olympic team until Sunday when she tweeted this. With so many Africans in Greece, at least the mosquitoes of West Nile will eat homemade food. Now, apparently there have been a lot of immigrants into her home country of Greece. And her comment was, they're moving from Africa to Greece. Good news for the mosquitoes because that's what they're used to back home in the West Nile region of the
right.
country. That's the tweet that she put out. And she was promptly fired by the head of the Greek Olympic Committee, who said that she showed no respect for basic Olympian values. And she has lost her position. And I don't know. I mean, I know she's only 23, but you don't make it to the Olympics unless you've invested a lot of time and sweat into getting on the team. So this has to be devastating to her, right?
They're saying it's racist?
They are saying it's racist. Yes, that is the complaint, is that it is racist.
Because Anel pointed out, she said Africans, and there are a lot of non-black Africans as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, Egypt is there in a bunch of different places.
She's not, I mean, this is what's interesting about it. She's not really making a joke about race as much as she's making a joke about geography, about people moving from one part of the world to another part of the world and a mosquito following you. I mean, that's kind of what the joke is. It's not the funniest joke in the world, but is it racist, and B, is it the type of joke that you lose your slot on the Olympic team because of it? Apparently, the tweet has divided opinions in Greece. Here's a politician in the Democratic Left Party who says she can make as many vile jokes as she likes on social networking sites while she watches the Olympic Games on TV. She certainly cannot represent Greece in London. Meanwhile, hundreds of people have responded on her Facebook page in support of her, saying, since when is clever humor a crime, said one fan. Making mistakes is human. Recognizing our mistakes demands character and compassion. So, I mean, it's kind of split in terms of whether people believe she should be fired or not, but it kind of brought up the topic. Look, the last thing in this athlete's mind when she went to her iPhone on Sunday was, I'm going to make a joke on Twitter and I'm going to lose my ability to compete at the Olympics this year. In a million years, she never saw this coming. And that's what happens a lot of the times when people get on social media and they don't realize sometimes there are going to be consequences and repercussions. I know, look, you and I don't have official K-Rock Twitter accounts.
Right.
But if we tweeted something the company decided they didn't like, they would fire us over it.
In a second, yeah. But this is absurd. This seems to me like political correctness gone awry. I mean, at least give her a chance to apologize if she wants.
Yeah, give her a chance to apologize.
Which she did.
And then tell her she can't tweet for the Olympics or something.
She did apologize. She immediately sent out the note after she was fired. I'd like to express my heartfelt apologies for the unfortunate and tasteless joke I published on my personal Twitter account. I'm very sorry and ashamed for the negative responses I triggered, since I never wanted to offend anyone or encroach human rights. And she just goes on and on and on to talk about how proud she is to be an Olympian, and she apologized to her friends and family and sponsors.
How proud she was to be an Olympian.
To be an Olympian, right, exactly. So that's what happened to her. Now we're going to see what happened to you, because let's face it, everybody tries to be funny on their Facebook or on their Twitter, and what's funny to you, somebody else may feel is not only not funny, but offensive and fireable. And those are the stories that we're looking for today.
I'll tell you, that's lesson one that we learned when we started this job, is the most insignificant thing that we say. There's a group out there that wants to be angry about it and will object to it. And if you really take it that seriously, there's no possible way anyone would do anything. I try to make my jokes offensive, and they're just, I can't get there. But I'm working on it, and I'm learning. I think I'm making progress.
So you don't think we're going to have any problem finding people who have lost their jobs over what they've written on social media?
No, we've done relationship trouble. Oh, I found out I was being broken up with when I saw his status changed. We've done that recently, but I think it's been a little while since we've done, you got fired because of it. You put something on your Facebook. Maybe it was a photo of somebody, boss in the company that didn't like it.
Or you tweeted about your company.
Or whatever.
Client.
Any kind of social media that you went to and then you ended up without a job. That seems bad.
You tweeted about cheating at school.
Sure.
Could be anything.
Could be that.
Yep.
So 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Taking your call here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Referencing this Olympian from Greece who lost her spot on the Olympic triple jumping team because she made a tweet that some people considered racist.
And by the way, she's hot. And if you're having trouble getting people interested in the Olympics, which I think they do at times,
yeah,
don't get rid of the hot chicks.
That's an excellent point.
You know.
By the way, beach volleyball, apparently the hottest ticket going.
Is that right?
For the Olympics this year, yeah. Have you seen some of the competitors for the beach volleyball
teams
around
not,
the world?
No.
My God.
I'll do some research, though.
Let's take some calls from you, including Jesse here on line 4 to get us started on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're looking for how social media got you fired. It happened to this Olympian from Greece. What did you tweet or Facebook that ended up helping you lose your job? Jesse, thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on, man. What happened?
How's it going, party people?
Good.
First of all, it was, just to get us started, it was annual review time. So I was in my boss's office getting my review.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I walked out, I've been sitting for about a good 30, 45 minutes discussing my job performance and everything. While I was fixing my shirt, retucking it back in, it was all messed up. So when I got back to my desk, I tweeted, "Hey, just got a raise, yeah, buddy," with the wink face on it. Well, one of my coworkers saw that and saw the tweet, saw me tucking my shirt back in, and thought that I was having sex. So told another coworker, another coworker, then it got back to the supervisor. And asked if I tweeted that. Well, yeah, I did tweet that. And she said, "Well, everybody's taking it as me having sex with you, this and that. That's not good for me or for you. I'm sorry, but because of all this, I have to let you go.
I've made my decision. You're fired."
Okay.
Wow.
So you told the story poorly, but my impression of what happened was this, is that you tweeted how you got a raise. Some people saw you tucking your shirt and thought that you were making a reference to having sex to get that raise.
You were earning it.
And therefore, you got fired because of that.
Exactly.
That's absurd.
That is crazy. Did you fight it?
Oh, I fought it. I fought it tooth and nail. It was a decent job, but they saw that and they pulled the rule book out, and they didn't exactly fire me for that. They fired me for using my cell phone on business time.
Ah, wow. That's interesting. That's an excuse. They wanted to get rid of you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
let's be honest.
All right,
Jesse, we can't continue with you. I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening.
You're the best. Never call us again.
Let's try John, line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Fired because of a tweet or a Facebook post. John, hi, you're up. Go.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
Last summer, I was working at the airport, and in the morning, we'd have to do security searches of the planes, just check them out and all that. And I thought it'd be funny to hop up in the overhead bins and do a quick plank and put it on Facebook. 3 days later, my boss calls me into his office, shows me it, and says, "Security breach," and got to let me go.
Security breach because you were planking on a plane?
Planking in the overhead.
But you worked for the airline. You had the authority to be on that plane, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I saw planking in the overhead last night at the Troub. They were really good.
Dude, that sucks. Did you get any severance or anything like that, or did this make you just walk out, pack up your stuff, and leave?
It was, they just recently went from union to non-union, so we were non-union, so I just said screwed and I left.
Oh, dude, that hurts. Although, planking, pretty dumb, right?
Yeah, I mean, you
deserved it a little bit, right?
Let's be honest.
Thank you, John. Eddie is up next. Eddie's on line 6 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie, thank you for calling. What's going on, dude?
All right, okay, so I was working with this, it was a bar slash restaurant in Santa Monica. I worked from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. as a guard.
Okay.
So I had a lot of time to kill. So
sure.
I made a pie chart that said 1% rather be at my job, 99% rather put a fire out with my face.
Okay.
And my boss
and your boss saw that as a negative?
And then he called me into the office and said, I noticed that there was a file on this. I was like, I was doing something for a band. I was trying to lie to him about it, but he was just like, "You're full of crap, and you know, you can pack your stuff up and go."
Wow.
Yeah, I guess there are bosses that don't want you to tweet negative things about the people who are paying you, I guess. But I certainly understand the temptation to want to tweet those things. Just sorry it didn't work out for you, dude.
All right. Looks like we have Rob Pattinson in the studio. Who knew?
Hey, Rob Pattinson. How are you, man?
Really happy to have you, considering all the news that's been going on with you and Kristen Stewart.
I'm very upset. What?
You and Kristen Stewart. All the news. What?
Oh, I thought you were saying you were upset because of Sherman Hemsley. And it's, really, I'm torn up about it. If you could see the tears in my eyes. I was a big Jefferson fan.
No, there's a story about Kristen Stewart.
About you guys breaking up, or at least her cheating on you.
Oh,
we don't know
yeah.
if you broke it up or not, but she cheated on you.
Whatever.
Oh, you don't care?
George Jefferson died.
Right.
I mean, let's get our priorities straight. Shoot.
Okay. So your girlfriend making out with the director of her movie.
Rob Pattinson's girlfriend publicly embarrasses him by committing adultery. Give me a break. I had 7 orgies this week. You think I care about that furrow-faced, flat-breasted, that sow?
Well, I don't know. She's your girlfriend. Why would she be your girlfriend if you did not find her attractive?
It's like straight man's beard. You know what I'm saying? Because okay. I've been slinging it all over town.
Right.
The Homeland Security should charge my penis with terrorism. Because it's, okay. do you understand what I'm saying, Lisa?
Yeah. I do.
Cannibal Corpse should write a song about my penis because it terrorizes women. I destroy them.
That sounds terrible.
I had my penis knighted. Sir Nob Pattinson.
Really?
I destroy the ladies.
I can't ignore the fact that you have a guitar there.
Oh, you're very observant.
Well, I'm just saying, if you brought it in, you know. Why, do you have songs? Or
I do have a song.
All right.
I have a song about... Because I'm not one to carry a grudge.
Oh, so it sounds like you're already over it, to be honest.
I am. Rob Pattinson does terrible things to ladies. Lots of
Right.
This is not the first time I've cheated on my girlfriend. This is what I'm saying.
I see.
Do you understand that?
She's just getting back.
In other words, Abysmal, Blumpkin, Dirty Sanchez, Compton Car Wash, West Side Glaze.
Right.
It all goes down.
Okay.
This
West Side Glaze.
I chopped off a girl's leg just to know what it's like to have sex with an amputee. With the chainsaw.
Oh,
the band Jackal loved it.
That doesn't sound like the Rob Pattinson we know.
What? Sounds like the Rob Pattinson you know. It doesn't sound like the Rob Pattinson
the
public knows.
Right, that's what
I'm saying. Will you guys break up? Or do you have an open relationship, or you're going to stay together and just continue to bang other people, or are you guys going to break up now as a result of it?
We're going to have to discuss that, I think. All right.
She's apologized. She says she's deeply hurt and embarrassed, and she loves you so much.
Have you not talked to her?
I don't see her often.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not typically in the same room.
Really interesting relationship.
It's great. I fly around the globe. Like common San Diego,
right?
With hotel rooms, lavish hotel rooms, mountains of blow like Tony Montana, and plenty of women, sweaty and oiled, for Rob Pattinson to destroy.
Wow,
this doesn't sound like the type of thing you should be really maybe admitting.
This is on this microphone.
Yeah,
we're on. Yes, we're on the air right now.
Oh, I better sing my song.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not one to carry a grudge,
right?
But I wrote this song for my girlfriend, Kristen Stewart, because we are going through a tumultuous time, and I just wanted to let her know that things are good.
Things are good.
That the important things have been put to the forefront.
Okay.
And that I'm going to focus on us. Here
well,
we
that's
go.
Nice.
This
that's
is dedicated to you, Kristen Stewart.
It's a very adult attitude.
With your flat chest and your yeast infections.
Come on.
You disgust me, you stupid bitch.
That doesn't sound like you.
It's true. Your boobs defy physics.
That's true.
How can you have A cups that somehow touch your navel? They're so saggy. Really, no good. Have nipples for a belt buckle. That's fantastic. You disgusting, sad face bitch.
You haven't carried a grudge at all, actually.
You're a performance, don't you think, you big-headed blonde freak?
Me? You're talking to me?
Oh, look in my eyes. They're great, aren't they?
They're pretty good, yeah. Pretty dreamy. Did you just make that up on the fly?
I did.
Is that a song you
That's
wrote?
How I work.
You on the fly.
That's right. I study at Groundlings. Yes, and. You never refuse someone. You see what I'm saying in the scene? Lisa May's labia, that's alliteration, puto.
What's happening right now?
I don't know what's happening.
So, Rob, what? Basically, you guys, I still don't know. You guys are fine, you're going to stay together, or you're going to
Let
break
clear
up
this
at the
for
end
you.
Of Rob
Let me clear
Rob
this up for
Kristen.
You.
Okay. Clear it up. Another song. Rob Pattinson.
That's a deep code for your face. Sounds pretty freaking awesome. Beer mug made a Sherman Hemsley joke. Going to heaven 11 hours after he died. He took a 6-hour nap.
That's the truth. He said that on air. A grown man taking a 6-hour nap, not his full sleep time. A nap. Seriously, Lisa.
It makes
who
sense.
Does that? No wonder Mel Gibson hates you.
I think we got off topic here, Rob.
If you get buried in a rose garden, it's your fault.
We were talking about Kristen Stewart cheating on you.
I think I had a little too much schnapps this morning. My time is a little loopy.
That was more of our topic.
I know. I'm sorry about
but
that.
But whatever you want to sing about, I mean, that's where this
is. The world is my oyster. I'm rich.
You are rich.
I'm in very successful movies.
That's correct, yes.
Maybe one of the most successful movie series of all time in the Twilight film.
Could be, yeah.
I'm quite handsome. Lisa May, can you do
that?
You
are handsome.
Thank you. It's only a matter of time before you and I are doing the rusty trombone.
Oh, lucky me.
And like I said, the world is my oyster.
Okay.
And it's time for this oyster man to go fishing.
You're an oyster man now?
I am.
Okay.
Is that what they call oyster fishermen?
I don't know.
I guess.
Now, so does that mean you're breaking up?
It means that I'm going to have to weigh all the options on the scales of justice.
What does that mean? Are you breaking up or you're not breaking up?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Put it in print, Harvey Levin. All right.
Do you happen to have a song about breaking up?
Sure. Okay. They say that breaking up is hard to do, but not when you are Rob Pattinson, because you go around the world breaking bitches off real proper like.
That's a good ending.
Yeah, thank you. Falsetto for you, punk.
Thank you, Rob.
Ralph Garman returns with the Showbiz Beat starting Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Seems like he's been gone a long time. Very exciting, though, to have our old friend Psycho Mike. Mike Catherwood, co-host of Love
Line
tonight's week here on K-Rock, filling in this hour. Hi, Michael. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's always great to be
here. Did you hear Rob Pattinson?
That guy's really lost it, man.
He stopped by a couple minutes
crazy.
Ago.
He tried to pretend like the cheating scandal didn't affect him, but it sounded like he had really lost it.
That's
I think he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
I think he's in a lot of pain.
So
he's just deflecting.
He's exactly being. He's posturing, trying to protect his macho ego.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Some of the things he said, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't either.
Pretty offensive.
Holy mackerel. Anyway, in showbiz news, I have a personal showbiz story that I thought I'd tell you guys.
Please.
Is this a Rich Mike story? Is this how Psycho Mike is now rubbing elbows with the rich and famous everywhere he goes?
Yeah, kind of.
Pretty much.
Kind of. This is I recently bought a classic car, a 66 GTO, and I love it very much. But I live in Venice Beach, where you don't really want to park something that you care about on the streets because a lot of people, a lot of traffic and stuff. So I go to this place that it's kind of like a storage unit place for higher-end stuff, stuff you really care about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm signing the contracts and dealing with it. And who walks in but Chris Hemsworth, the beautiful
Thor.
Yeah, he's Thor.
Yes.
Very nice. Guy seemingly very nice. He was talking with another employee there.
Did he dwarf you in size?
Yeah, he's big.
He's a monster.
He's probably 6'5". He's like Bean's height, but really muscular and very, very handsome. I mean, like disturbingly handsome. You know?
He's
like,
Swole Patrol, and all of a sudden you feel like a little weakly.
Yes, I'm a little man in stature, in success, in the looks department, and
in
everything.
The world.
Yes, yeah. That's fine. I'm just kind of minding my own business, and he's over in the corner talking about the different type of locks that you should buy to protect there's certain things that you get in a storage unit.
Right.
And he says, so which type of lock do you recommend? And he's the guy says, you should probably get this lock here. Why is that? Well, because you can't cut it with bolt cutters. It's got a certain type of lock that it makes it, you know, prevents it from being cuttable with bolt cutters, and that's really the big way that thieves get in. And he says, what if I forget the combination? And I go, use the hammer and floor. And he goes, what? And I'm like, uh-oh.
Did you say nothing?
And there's this weird silence.
Or did you have to repeat it?
I said, nothing. He said, what did you say? And because I have this ass-eating grin on my face.
Yeah.
And he goes, what did you say?
Because you're so, and I know Mike. Mike is so happy with himself.
Anybody who's listened to the Kevin and Bean Show for any amount of time knows I'm laughing at my own joke hysterically.
Right.
And he goes, what? I goes, you just hand, you use the hammer of Thor. He goes, oh, that's real funny.
Really?
And then the other guys laugh at me. Like the employees are like, ha, ha, ha. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. And then there's even more awkward silence, and then they go about their business.
Love
so
it.
I started,
oh, Mike. Thank making
so
friends
much.
Wherever you go.
But he was very nice and very beautiful. All right. There
All
you go.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. The cutting edge showbiz story.
Excellent.
It's a great story.
Kim Kardashian.
Porn
star Kim Kardashian, I apologize, is claiming, according to Radar Online, that she's more famous than Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, and Gwyneth Paltrow combined.
Overruled!
Yeah. She, according to Radar Online, again, divorced future ex-husband Chris Humphries for not being big enough in the showbiz industry and not helping her profile enough.
And we never heard a reason why. We just heard the 72 days she left.
Yeah,
he wasn't. Now she's saying, or Radar Online is saying?
According to Radar Online, okay. Future ex-husband Chris Humphries wasn't high profile enough for her.
But she knew that before she married him, though.
I agree.
That's not the type of thing you realize after the wedding that he's not famous.
Right.
Obviously.
I think, and I'm looking at this list of people that she claims to be more famous than, you know, if you talk to, you guys have talked to other celebrities on this show that have admitted this. Like, I remember Kevin Smith talking about it on Loveline, where you get into this industry to do whatever it is you're passionate about. For him, it was movie. And then somewhere along the line, you do get lost. You get consumed with kind of furthering your profile instead of your art. Then you have to go back. You have to check yourself, and you go back and you get into it for the right reason. Kim Kardashian has nothing to check herself with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she's only going to be consumed with her what does she go back to? Like,
the sex tape?
You know what? I need to get back into my acting or my music.
Yeah, you're right.
So
she's got nothing.
I think that obviously she's delusional in thinking that she's more famous than these three women. But at the same time, you can't blame her. And then it's also part of this blame has to go into people like Chris Humphries and other people that go out of their way to get into business with her. Because it's like, look, you should know this going in, because there is nothing for her to fall back on except for her fame. All right.
Thank you, celebrities. Is there anything they don't know?
A good story coming out of the celebrity world. Three Aurora-based hospitals are going to try to limit or completely wipe out the cost of medical bills for those wounded in the Dark Knight Rises shooting.
Out there. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Yeah, hospitals.
Yeah. On top of that, $2 million has been raised publicly and privately, and also Warner Brothers has agreed to donate the film's profits to the victim, partial amounts of the profits. So I think Warner Brothers has really gone above and beyond, you know, doing things to make sure that they showed deference to the people that have, you know, fallen.
Did you see that Christian Bale went and didn't tell anyone?
No.
You see that?
I did.
He went and visited the victims.
I didn't know that he didn't do any press.
Didn't tell anyone. The only way people found out is that the victims that he visited tweeted their pictures with him.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Have you guys seen Dark Knight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic film.
I mean,
amazing achievement.
I need that car.
Only one real downside, in my opinion. My only critique of the movie is that I thought Bane's voice didn't fit Bane.
Yeah, like, it seemed like Sean Connery.
Right, he did. That's what I was going to say. He said, the Santa Claus in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Like, I wanted Bane to talk like he was in a grindcore band, you know, because he's like this man. You're dead, buddy. And he's like, well, do you false idol Harvey Dent?
But wouldn't
we idolize this man for what reason? Because someone says that he is the idol of Gotham City? And where is the Batman?
You're like, wait, what? You're giant buff scary guy with scary mask.
But Batman already sounds a little bit like what you're describing.
I understand that, but
band face off.
They should have done that. Just by the end of the movie, we're like, really? Do we understand it?
It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
I wanted him to sound like he sings in Caninus, the band with the bulldog. I don't know. I just thought it was a little unsaid.
That's right, Batman. You move like a younger man.
It was.
But your spirit is still strong.
It was quite refined.
Yeah. All right.
For a guy that was raised in a prison underground.
Cameron Diaz is probably very upset at herself, at life, at the world.
Why?
According to Star Magazine, the 39-year-old actress has been pursuing Seth MacFarlane, man behind Family Guy and Ted.
Genius.
To no avail. He likes her. Fan of her work.
Sure.
But he doesn't want to be her boyfriend because she's older than the girls that he's used to dating.
He told her, no.
No. Is Cameron Diaz really, going to be upset because one dude finds her older than she? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't imagine.
I think so.
She seems to date a lot of great guys.
Yeah, but I think, especially girls in Hollywood, do not want to hear the word older. I think.
I get that, but she's not a girl who, just came to that conclusion. Like, I mean, it's been years since she... Here's the reason why I believe Cameron Diaz probably had better perspective on it, because I would imagine Cameron Diaz is a big enough star she doesn't have to audition anymore.
Right.
And that's just speculation. So I'm imagining they call her up for roles of the hot mid-30s to older...
And she looks great.
Right. It's like they're no longer calling her for the Blake Lively roles.
Right.
She has to know that going in. Like, at least the professional aspect has to give her perspective on the personal life. Like, And also, if Seth MacFarlane doesn't want her, aren't there 70 million 25-year-olds that will have her?
Yes, but don't you want the one person that doesn't want you?
I guess.
That's a natural human reaction.
That's why I still love Omar.
She does date younger men, right?
Yes, she does.
Did I say that on the air?
You did. Yes. That was out loud.
All right. That seems like that's all that's going on in show. Right. Birthdays today. Mick Jagger.
69.
What? Oh, no, you didn't.
That's how old he is.
69.
No, I'm saying that's how old he is.
Oh, 69. Oh, you know, black guys don't do that. DJ Quick told me, Lisa May.
Oh,
he
I
says,
do know
I
that,
got 68.
Actually.
Oh, you do know that. 68, I owe you one. That's what he says.
69. That's right. I'm a big fan of it.
Do the birthdays as bait, if you will. Okay.
Well, singer for the Rolling Stones is. Then he loves to dance. Mick Jagger, 69, a great sex position, unless you have this mask on like Bane, a mercenary from deep within the bowels of hell. Helen Mirren, very attractive for 67 years old. Roger Taylor of Queen, 63, Batman. And Kevin Spacey, a man hiding a tremendous secret.
Allegedly.
53 years old. And Sandra Bullock, someone probably not concerned about her age, like Cameron Diaz, because so many men love her. She's 48. A man who used to be in Pennywise with the great noble giant known as Fletcher. He's Jim Lindbergh. Now has his own band called the Black Pacific. He's 47, Batman. And where's Harvey Dent when you need him, Jeremy Piven, on your 47th birthday? Is he a false idol of Gotham? I believe so. I am Gotham's reckoning. Chris Harrison of The Bachelor. 41 years old. 41 years on Earth telling people to falsely fall in love on television. Do you feel happy with yourself, Chris Harrison? And Kate Beckinsale. Someone Bane would split in half with his big Bane winner.
Winner?
No, Kevin. Okay. I keep it in my Bane cargo pants. Why the hell am I wearing cargo pants? What cargo do I need? I don't even use guns. I'm so muscular I rip people's necks off, but I have cargo pants like I'm a paratrooper in Nam. She's 39 years old, and I saw Pearl Harbor, and I'm not forgiving you. I'm the reckoning of Pearl Harbor. That's a crappy movie. Taylor Momsen, recently on Loveline. 19 years old, the singer of Pretty Reckless. Harvey Dent has quite a secret to hide. Straight from the words of Commissioner Gordon. I am Gotham's reckoning. That is a showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew on the program later on this hour. Also, our old friend Vince Vaughn joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, MTV. Awkward is the show. Thursday nights at 10:30. The star of the program, Ashley Ricard, is in studio with us right now. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Well, we're fine. I'm still not convinced you're telling the truth with this timeline. How much sleep were you planning on getting versus how much you actually got this morning?
I was working on my feature that I'm writing, and I worked until, like, you know, 3 or 4, and I was planning on getting, like, a little power nap in.
Now, what's a power nap? Is that an hour or less? 45 minutes? 2 hours?
Yeah, something in there. Depends.
In there, okay.
And,
okay.
How'd
that go?
Cut to way longer later, and I have to leave the house in 10 minutes. And the alarm has been going off for 2 hours.
Well, you didn't hear it the whole time.
I did not hear it the whole time.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You are, it's funny, you talk about you're writing a feature. You're writing a film? That's what you're doing? You're 20 years old. You're writing a movie, right?
Yeah. I have two scripts and a poetry book. I like
sure
writing.
Sure you do. You, I always,
what
sure
does that
do.
Mean? No,
what that means is we envy talented people.
Yes, what that
so
means
So you
is,
have a poetry book, and you're writing a couple of movies,
and you're starting a big hit show, and you're
slow
20.
It down.
You're what? Screwing up the curve for the rest of us, is what we're saying.
Slow it down.
I want to know,
you've got
and
time.
I rarely do this, but I have to know. I have to ask you about a couple things on your Wikipedia page to find out if they're true or not, because I find it very difficult to believe. Did you graduate from high school at 15 years old, Ashley?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
How many grades does that mean you skipped? Two?
I didn't skip any. I just did all the work on – I did the curriculums on each one, And I was fortunate enough to go to a type of school that once you understood the concept, you didn't have to keep going over it and going over it and going over it.
But I think you are 17 or 18 when you usually graduate high school.
Yeah. Yeah, 18.
And you were 50. All right. You are, in fact, a member of Mensa?
Yep.
Me too. That's crazy.
Do you have to take a – how do you get to be a member of Mensa? I mean, we know that as an expression, but you have to take a test or something, or how does it work?
Yeah, you have to take an IQ test and test to over a certain point.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you took that test?
Three.
I was actually still in the womb. I took it once when I was younger and then again right before I – joined, but the great thing is they get from Mensa, I get discounts on rental cars and really dorky gatherings to play chess at.
Which good
is
times.
It's super, super
so beneficial. All the free Renaissance fair you want for the rest of your life if you're in Mensa, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't seem like a fun group.
I've never gone to one of those.
Okay.
I don't know if they play chess.
Moving on, a former competitive equestrian, true or false?
True.
Everything on that page is true, Bean.
Really?
So far, good.
Like, competitive equestrian, meaning like, what kinds of events and for how long did you compete on a horse?
I started riding at like, geez, I want to say, 7 or 8. And I was hunter jumper, so those are the competitions I would do. And I tried a few other types of riding, but they were just they weren't fun. I want to do something that gets the adrenaline going.
Okay. How are the rest of us feeling about our accomplishments up to this point, now that we've been speaking with Ashley for 3 minutes?
Really crappy.
Right. You mentioned poetry, your poetry book, you write scripts. You enjoy painting in your spare time as well. You are on the board of directors for Project Futures Somali Mom Foundation? What is that?
Yeah, Somali Mom Foundation. It's a charity that works to prevent and end sexual slavery and human trafficking.
Sure. Sure, why not?
Is with the shirt?
No, it's just, again.
Again, how are you doing all of this and I'm doing nothing?
We have accomplished none of that.
Right, you're doing all of this.
And you've done all that by 20.
Believe me, I mean it as a supreme compliment. I just thought this was one of those deals where awkward fans went onto your page and said, I'm going to pump up Ashley so she looks smart. But in fact, you are actually smart. So well done. Oh, and she's starring on MTV's Awkward, which just got picked up for a third season. So all of that is happening. That's your life, right? That's what you're doing.
That is my life right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. I can't complain. I wish I slept a little more. That's all.
It did sound like there was going to be more to that sentence, actually.
Yeah.
It actually did.
Yeah.
What's being on Awkward like? What kinds of reactions do you get from people? Because it is very popular with a particular subset of people.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, it is very popular with the teen demographic, particularly the teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a very wide demographic. And after the first season fully aired, this was a few days after the finale, I was at Sports Authority. And this 6'4" guy who weighs like 200 pounds or like probably bigger than that of just like muscle and got that like weird frat boy stance where his head's like this and he's doing the little chin thing.
He's a jock. He's a jock.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he comes up to me and he's like, yo, I freaking love your show. I hate your mom, man. How could she write that letter? That's so freaking rude. And I just was like, oh, thank you. What are the 4-pound weights?
That's weird.
And so, yeah, it's nice to have that sort of variety in there with who watches the show. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You get to,
do you have people weighing in on the storyline a lot like that? Like,
oh, my God, yeah. Yeah,
you should, you shouldn't. Why did, why didn't?
Yeah, there's Team Maddie, Team Jake. And so the Team Maddie and Team Jake fans get really intense. And it's awesome because it's a little bit like by everybody being such big fans of them, I sort of get to tweet about their more negative aspects, if that makes sense, to lower their egos a little bit. So
you need to bring them back down?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Brett and Bo, No, I'm kidding. I don't really need to, but I do tweet or talk about that the breath on that set is rank between the three of us.
Is that right?
It is bad.
And you're including yourself in the three.
I am. Okay. 'Cause it's coffee. For me, I taste like energy drinks and donuts in the morning. It's like not very sexy.
It's not sexy. No. It's not sexy.
No.
Doesn't sound sexy.
All right, tell me if I'm crazy, and I haven't seen as much awkward as maybe some people have, Ashley, but I've seen enough of it. I think I got a beat on this. Tell me if this is a crazy conclusion that I've drawn. Your character is the only one who's kind of realistic. I look at you as kind of like Jason Bateman's character in Arrested Development, where you're the normal one, and everybody else is like hyper real, and all the crazy stuff is happening around them. They're like cartoon characters, and you're trying to figure out where you fit into their crazy world. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that that's due to the voiceover aspect of it. We get to, by having the voiceover element, you're literally inside of Jenna's head and you're following the storyline with her in a much more intimate way than just like...
In the way she sees it.
Yeah.
And experiences it.
And so that's part of it, is that it opens our eyes up to that. In terms of being real, I think... The actors that play the actors on my show are all relatively close to their character.
In real life?
Yeah.
So you work with crazy people?
No. They have like little glimpses of their characters in them, and it's fun to watch those and kind of make fun of them for that.
Ashley Ricard is here. We're talking about the TV show Awkward. It airs Thursday nights at 10:30 on MTV. Episode 5 tonight. Just picked up for a third season. We'll take a quick break. More after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Actress Ashley Ricard's in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is the star of Awkward, period, on MTV, which airs Thursday nights at 10:30. You laugh, but there's a period at the end of Awkward, right?
There is, and it's emphasized.
Yeah, I don't get that, but I love it. You are Jenna. For folks who haven't seen the show, tell people about Jenna. What's her crisis? What's going on with her?
Well, she's a girl in high school.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know, right?
And to add to that, she's also awkward. she's this 15-year-old girl in the first season, and she's sort of the underdog there. And the show starts off following her after this accident. Which people sort of blow out of proportion and rocket her into the spotlight in not a great way. And she makes the most out of it. And the show chronicles the chaos of being a teenager these days and just of being a person these days, because the themes are really interchangeable between people and places.
Is it kind of cool that you're already in season 2 and they've already told you they want a season 3 with... What is it, twice as many episodes as you're doing this year? That's kind of cool, right?
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Yeah, I got a call from Lauren, the creator of the show, and she told me, and I was super excited. And
you can buy whatever you want at Walmart now.
I can buy whatever I want at Walmart. I can have as many jorts as I want.
That's right. That's you can buy a lot of jorts.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I can't wait for Joan Rivers to see me rocking those. It's going to be really good.
Let's play this clip from Awkward. This was from last week's episode. You're struggling. You got a lot of things, as Kevin mentioned. You know, you're a teenage girl in high school. So, of course, there's plenty of drama. There's boy drama. There's self-esteem drama. There's, of course, drama with your parents recently splitting up. And that's what you go to the counselor's office to talk about. And maybe she's not as sympathetic as you thought she might be.
Got a minute? Actually, I have another appointment, but the kid's a total snooze. So, yeah, have a seat. What's going on?
I've been having a hard time lately.
Are you off your meds?
I was never on them. I'm depressed because my parents are separated.
Your dad's single?
What?
That must be hard for you. I mean, considering how attractive he is. Oh, now you're going to have to compete with other girls for his attention. Do you think he likes them young, or is he into ladies his own age?
I don't know, and I don't care. What I want is for my parents to get back together. I feel like their breakup is my fault, and it makes me question who I am.
Uh-oh. Very funny. Hey, What's it like working for MTV, by the way? Do you find yourself on all sorts of ridiculous promotional jobs where all of a sudden you're, you know, like in a car with Snooki or something like that? I mean, do you get kind of roped into their permission, you know, their promotional spider web?
Well, let's start one at a time. Have you ever been in a car with Snooki?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Other weird situations.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's one of the best parts of working for MTV is that, you know, number one, they're so supportive of us telling the truth on the show, in the writing, and in the messages we're trying to convey. And number two, I'm on a network that throws a ton of events, VMAs, everything, and MTV Movie Awards. So I go to all those, and I really don't have to do anything but enjoy the show most of the time and just watch and hang out. I went to Ireland for the European Music Awards.
Sweet.
And presented there with this very large redheaded wrestler named Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a weird match.
You're not exactly that stature, if you don't mind my saying.
No, no. And yeah, he was also from Ireland, so sure. It was extra weird. But it was fun, and that's what I love about working for MTV is that I do get to go to all those things, and I do see Dina and Snooki and like wave to them or like catch up with Jenny. It's very surreal. It's very surreal.
Now, are you being serious when you say that? Because you have a very dry sense of humor.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna go with, if people don't like what I've said, assume it's sarcasm.
Okay.
Okay.
And if they like it, then
I was being serious.
Okay. Good. Sure.
So smart. If you liked that, I might have been serious that I do catch up with Snooki and
Thursday nights at 10:30 on MTV. We're going to say goodbye to Ashley here because we have Dr. Drew coming up next. But is it true, Kevin, that Ashley is going to be involved in some sort of a dance off in the next room?
Yeah. She and Psycho Mike, I think, are going to have a dance off.
What kind of dance are we doing?
She was determined? Not popping and locking, but she was jiving a little bit with the Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
All right, with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So she said she's going to do a dance contest, yeah. And then we're going to put it up online.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah,
it's going to be so horrific. I can't wait.
Thursday nights, 10:30 MTV. The show is Awkward. Ashley, thanks for coming in.
Of course.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
I've had about an ass full of this Dr. Drew, man. He's got to be stopped.
What is it about him that has to
nice
be stopped?
Nice thing to say.
But look, you know I love Dr. Drew, right? You know I've been a mad supporter of his and the great work that he's done over the years. But he has got to be stopped. He has turned to the dark side. Dr. Drew, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. What have I done?
Quite an introduction.
I know you never see tweets from your legions of fans because you have millions of followers on Twitter the other day, but I tweeted that with all the good work you've done, you throw all of that out the window the minute you start talking girls out of doing porn. And I don't know what's going on with you, but you had this guest on the HLN show the other night, the former porn star Penny Flame.
Yeah.
And somehow she's hot, and she was doing porn, and that was her choice, and that's what she wanted to do for a living. Somehow you talked her out of it, and now she's giving you all the credit for the fact that she's now working as a freaking hostess in a restaurant instead of doing porn.
Bane, how dare you, first of all. Secondly, if you remember, she was on the sex rehab program. I mean,
yes.
I didn't talk her out of anything. She came in.
Oh, I see.
And yes, and we treated her. And she actually came into the show. And if you read her book, the book's called I Am Jenny. It's an amazing book. She talks about how she came onto the show with the explicit intention of just screwing with us. She thought it was going to promote her porn career.
Oh, really?
And she was going to sabotage our whole operation. But when she got engaged in the treatment process, she realized she had a very serious problem, and she was miserable, and she was a drug addict, and we started treating her, and lo and behold, she stuck with it, and now I guess it wasn't working for her, Bean. I'm sorry. It was working for Bean, clearly, but it wasn't working for her.
Now, let me ask Bean a question. Now, knowing that she wanted to get out of porn, what should Dr. Drew have done?
Well,
I think it's a bigger issue than maybe just this one woman who may be an exceptional circumstance that I didn't realize. In general, though, when I've heard you over the years on Loveline, you're the first guy to quickly point out that porn is not a great option for women. And that's
Let me understand this, Bean. You think it is.
Yes! I think it's illegal.
So when you speak to Kevin's daughters, what you
say is,
what I'm saying? Hopefully they'll succeed in life and go ahead and...
Now you've gone too far.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it's for everyone. No job is for everyone. There's no job that everyone wants to do. But what's – at least admit that there are some girls out there who were not abused, who do not have drug problems, who do not have daddy issues or mental problems or something like that, who just do it because it's a legal, fun way to make a living, and they can make a lot of money doing something they enjoy. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
I've never used the word bad, number one. And number two, the person you described, I've never met, but I imagine they're out there. In other words, everyone I encounter seems to have issues, but again, that's me. But the important message here being, and this is the deal that I continue to get accused of, I'm not interested in telling anyone how to do anything unless they want to change, unless they're stuck in something that's not working for them.
So if they come to you and ask for your help.
Right. If they would like help change. Now, Jenny was not asking for our help. She was coming in to screw with us. But once she realized there was a problem, she wanted our help, and then we helped her. Everyone should just enjoy. Enjoy your porn. It's all good.
Has anyone ever heard Bean so passionate on any topic?
No, I didn't realize he was such a fan, shall we say.
Because, Dr. Drew, he's been waiting for this interview all week. Drew, here's the thing. It's not just you.
Bring Jenny in.
That would actually be interesting,
yeah,
I think.
Fascinating.
There's such a stigma with women who choose porn, which again is legal, as a way to make a living. And we talk about these stories all the time on our show about a woman who gets fired from her teaching job because she used to be in porn videos and stuff. I mean, people just get so crazy over the fact that somebody chooses to have sex for money that I don't understand why, because for some girls, it's probably a great choice. And
First of all, this is a great example of Bean's Aspergian syndrome, where he doesn't understand the usual social kinds of cues. But anyway, be that as it may, the men get the same stigma as the women. I actually had a guy on HLN who lost his teaching job, who had done porn years ago, and he was an excellent teacher everyone loved, and was, boom, just summarily dismissed. So it's not just the women that get it.
It's the guys, too. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that repercussion as a result of somebody choosing that as an occupation, though, Drew?
No, I didn't. I mean, I would. It makes me wonder, are they okay? You know what I mean? It's like everyone I encountered that's in that business has got some stuff going on. But
I think that's Bean's complaint with you right there, is that your first assumption is there's something wrong going on.
Well, that's just my – because I'm not saying it's necessarily so. It's been my experience, but okay.
And what about – you've had Jenna Jameson on the HLN show, and of course you've had her on Loveline over the years. What about somebody like her, who we've also had on the show a bunch of times, who says, look, I looked at what my options were out there, and I realized that I could build a career out of this and be in control and call all the shots and make my own way in this world. Listen, what about somebody like her? I mean, she did it as long as she wanted and then retired, and now she's set for life.
From a feminist perspective, it makes perfect sense. From a psychological or mental health or from the standpoint of the individual, let's just look at the arc of her life and the Vicodin abuse and the relationships and all the stuff that's happened to her. I'm not sure it's been a happy life. I don't know. Only she could answer that. I'm just not sure.
Back to you, B. So basically what you're saying is the scenario exists where somebody could be healthy and happy and it's a good choice for them. That just hasn't been your experience in all the years that you've been involved.
But remember, I see a self-selecting population that aren't necessarily well and want help. There you go. I'm not judging. I'm not like Corolla. I don't judge.
Corolla judges everything.
Yeah, he judges everything based on nothing. That's what's great about Adam.
All right. The book that Dr. Drew referred to, by the way, is called I Am Jenny, if you want to check it out. And it's from former porn star Penny Flame, who was a fascinating guest on the Dr. Drew HLN show, which airs weeknights at 9 or 6 o'clock, depending on your cable system. And, of course, Loveline 5 nights a week here on good old K-Rock. Doc, thanks for coming on, as always.
See you guys. Thanks.
In for Ralph Garman this hour on the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's our old friend Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Hi,
by the
everybody.
Way, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't want to take any of your time, but you heard the conversation we were having with your partner on Loveline, Dr. Drew, there.
Yes.
I'm not lying. He's way anti-chicks doing porn, right?
Well, yes. I believe that if you are a girl and you're deciding on going into pornography, if you talk to Dr. Drew, he will try to sway you the opposite direction.
But having said that, the subset of porn stars that he meets are the ones that want help.
Of course.
Right?
The
yeah.
happy adjusted ones, however few there are.
He admitted it. I'm
a big fan of the pornography.
We
like adult films.
Huh.
But I would have to say that if there was a way that we could not make people do it, I'd be okay with it too.
Nobody's forcing people to do
right.
it. They volunteer to do it.
My point being that, like, I understand kind of where he's coming from. Rarely do you talk to someone that does a couple years in porn and goes, pretty happy I did it.
That was great.
Yeah, that was a good choice for me, and I feel a lot better about myself now. So, but that being said, I will be on, you know, Spank Wire in like 15 minutes. You know?
Sure. 8:54, time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Another day. Another rumor about Rihanna and Chris Brown reuniting.
That's crazy.
It is. This time, it plays out like a Bond movie. This is intense.
Okay.
New York Post claims that the two had an intense marathon conversation.
Oh, conversation?
In the south of France, Lisa May.
Oh, wow.
On a $300 million yacht owned by vodka mogul Yuri Scheffler.
Okay.
Holy mackerel.
Sounds intense.
Rihanna supposedly has a boat nearby in the south, her own.
We heard she's renting one.
Yes, yeah, she's, for quite some time.
It's a rental.
The SS Umbrella, Ella. Ella. I take them back. Her notorious ex-boyfriend paid a visit to that boat, and they had this long conversation that carried on over to Yuri Scheffler's vodka mogul yacht. Intense. Chris's reps swear there's nothing going on, claims he's shooting a video out there in the south of France with Swizz Beatz and Ludacris, and he claims that girlfriend Kariachi Tron is in town as well. So,
all right.
They are not.
He even sounds like a Bond villain.
I know.
I like it.
I met with Kariachi Tron. Katy Perry, if you were to ask Katy Perry, how much money do you want there, Miss Perry? Her answer, I think, is going to be all money.
Mm-hmm.
All money in the world.
Sure.
And that's happened,
she
right?
is now a part owner of Pop Chips. Have you guys seen Pop Chips?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love those so much.
Yeah, they're super hot, and people love them. The people love them. And now she's an investor for the snack company and its creative partner. Katie's ads for Pop Chips will premiere in the fall, and hopefully she'll do a lot better than the last celebrity endorser of Pop Chips, Ashton Kutcher.
They yanked those,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. He was fired because he did a kind of discriminating, insensitive Indian voice.
Right.
Indian accent in one of the
I very much enjoy eating these Pop Chips. is that guy, basically, right?
I didn't know you guys had the audio from the commercial.
We did.
That was amazing.
That was it. The mics were there.
My name is Iqbal Banotsak.
TMZ reports that Kirstie Alley is being sued over her weight loss program.
Now, what does that
mean? She has a weight loss program?
Well,
where do I sign up?
Marina Abramian.
Glendale.
Claims Kirstie didn't lose weight using the Organic Liaison program, but instead lost her tonnage thanks to the workouts on Dancing with the Stars and a low-calorie diet. Now, she's filed a class-action lawsuit and wants cash as a result of the alleged fraud.
So she's saying, listen, I saw your commercials on TV for this diet plan that you advertised, but I don't think that's how you really lost the weight. Therefore, I'm entitled to money?
Right.
Yes, that's what's happening.
And
because you lied.
Yeah, essentially, she did. And I'm sure they probably paid her to talk about this program
she
was on Dancing with the Stars. Like, I'm losing weight because... And I was on Dancing with the Stars with Kirstie Alley for a very short period of time. But, like, she didn't really talk about any... She was just talking about how she's watching what she eats and working out a lot. And
right.
So, I don't know. I mean, maybe this lady has a case. Happier news. Three Aurora hospitals out there in Aurora, Colorado, are going to limit or completely wipe out the cost of medical bills for those wounded in the Dark Knight shooting.
Super cool.
Yeah. That's
a lot of them are young and have no insurance.
Yeah, exactly right. You're exactly right, Lisa May. A lot of the people in the theater didn't have any insurance. And Warner Brothers is pitching in a lot, too, as well. And Warner Brothers seems to be going above and beyond when it comes to showing respect for those people that were, unfortunately, victims of that shooting. So there you go. That is happier news. And then, of course, Bane.
All right, now, Mike, tell us your problem with Bane, because we are getting a lot of requests that you do the birthdays again as Bane.
Oh, no problem.
What's your problem with Bane?
My problem with Bane is that he's supposed to be the world's most menacing character.
Right.
He is this mercenary from a secret prison deep within the bowels of the earth.
Right.
He's got that giant thing on his face.
And he's super buff, and he can kick Batman. He's from the League of Shadows like Batman, except he's buffer and meaner, and he talks like the Santa Claus from the 1960s Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special.
His voice didn't match with you?
No! I was a bit disappointed. I was waiting because the scene with him, the movie starts. I don't want to give anything away. The movie starts with it, and you're like, wow, this guy's crazy intimidating. Right. And he goes, well, Batman,
it is true. I am the reckoning of Gotham City.
That is his voice, oddly enough.
Yes.
Does Harvey Dent deserve all the reference of Gotham City? I believe false idols are at bay. One Commissioner Gordon will, with his own words, let her know that Gotham City is under the suspicion of...
Come on! Right.
Not that
I want
scary.
Him to talk like Javier Bardem or something, you know? Like
hello, friendo.
Yeah, well, but. All right, so... To please you here in the studio,
thank you.
Which is what I'm all about, sure. And to please you, thanks, the fine Kevin and Bean listeners, the smartest, the best, and most attractive listeners in the world.
Take it easy.
Bane with celebrity birthdays.
Singer Mick Jagger, 69 years old. 69 leads him a sexual position. That's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
I've been known to destroy women with 69. And Bane does his special sexual position called 71. That's when I punch a girl's face off.
Oh, stop it. That's ridiculous.
It's true. I'm a mercenary. It's what that's I do. I murder.
Point. That's a good point.
I murder.
I lost my head.
By the way, Marianne Cotillard is in the movie. Very attractive woman. Disgusting areolas. Bane has seen her areolas. I saw them in topless pictures that were on TMZ. They're the size of sewer caps. It looks like someone threw bologna slices at Marianne Cotillard's breasts.
Come on, Bane. That's just mean.
I saw disgusting areolas at the True Bless night.
Bane's offended by something that Bane says. Yes, I've murdered hundreds of people in a matter of a day.
Right. Don't make fun of the crazy eye lady's boobs. That's all I'm saying.
She's French, too. Bane going to France after Gotham City. Destroy all the frogs.
Any other birthdays?
Actor Kevin Spacey. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of rumors about that fellow.
That he's a terrific actor.
Fantastic and talented man.
Yeah. Right.
Jim Lindbergh was in Pennywise. No longer. Couldn't get along. Couldn't get along with the rest of the boys from the South Bay. Fletcher. Fletcher's a monster of a man, and now his lead singer is who? Zoli Teglis. Zoli Teglis sounds like one of Bane's mercenary friends, but no! He sings for Ignite and Pennywise. Not a fan of people who hunt whales. Chris Harrison hosts The Bachelor. It's probably getting old, no matter how much they pay him. Do you take this woman to be your wife? Yes, I do. That won't last, I guarantee it. That's what he's thinking. That's what he's thinking. Oh, it's true. And every bachelorette seems to be dumb with fake enhanced breasts. Where are all the natural ladies looking for a man nowadays? Can't Bane get some?
Well, Bane's got a lot on his mind today.
That's right. I'm wearing these big, beefy gloves.
Don't even say Lisa May speaking. Come on.
No.
Let's just move on. We've got guests.
Please.
Let's move on to another birthday.
I believe you suggested
that. We've got guests. We've got to go.
Kate Beckinsale. You've got guests. Shut your mouth. I know what the next bit is, Bean. Don't tell. Don't
How
threaten.
Does Bane know?
My brain knows what the next bit is.
How can Bane know
it
that?
It has to do with baseball.
Oh, all right.
Bane knows. I'm smart, not only tough, that's true. Kate Beckinsale looks amazing for 39.
Agreed.
I almost ran out of lotion.
I okay. feel like we've been taking hostage the
promos,
at this point.
For the promos of Total Recall, Lisa May.
And finally.
Can you believe Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel in the same movie? What am I going to do? The calluses of Bane will be outrageous.
And say
Colin
goodbye now.
Farrell must have wanted to put a gun in his mouth. There was so much Boontang on set. And I know they're wearing skimpy outfits because that's what action movies call for.
Right.
Could you imagine the Biel ass and the face of Kate Beckinsale with her nice round bosoms in front of your face all day, sometimes 17 hours on a set. It's true. Harvey Dent, I am Gotham's reckoning. I am Gotham's reckoning. Kevin has a monstrous head. Go to commercials because that is a showbiz brief.
Vince Vaughn, one of the stars of the new film The Watch, joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You know, we didn't get a chance to mention it on the show here the other day, but you know, I've had a very depressing week with Seattle baseball superstar Ichiro Suzuki being traded to the Yankees while the Yankees were in town. So one day he's a Mariner, the next day he's in the visitors clubhouse, he's suited up as a Yankee playing against the Mariners.
Bean's life is the Mariners.
Yes.
And so when he got traded, Bean was literally just sobbing.
It just hurt. It hurt. It hurt a lot. But But the reason I bring it up is to talk about what a contrast to be a Dodgers fan. And these last few years have been pretty rough for L.A. fans. But with this new ownership, you know, you're looking at the owners and you're going, what are you going to do now? Now that the team has been sold, what are you guys going to do? Well, what this team is going to do is exactly what they said, which is anything it takes to win, including spending crazy money, where 2 days ago they spent $38 million to bring in Hanley Ramirez from the Florida Marlins, who, by the way, is not having the greatest season he's ever had, but he's 28 years old. He's had a great past and is likely going to continue to be a great hitter as well. I mean, the Dodgers already have Matt Kemp. They already have Andre Ethier. Right. Now they have Hanley Ramirez. I mean, adding another bat to the Dodgers, who are already a great hitting team, for that kind of money, that's what you want from your owners. That's what makes you happy as a Dodgers fan.
Hang on, B. Manny?
What's going on?
Manny Ramirez?
All right. Manny Ramirez, happy to be Dodger once again. Hooray. I'm back.
Manny Ramirez,
come to Los Angeles Dodger. I hit home run. Yeah.
We're talking about Hanley Ramirez. Hanley Ramirez, the player from the Marlins. Not you. You're retired.
My name Hanley?
No.
I thought for my whole life, my name Manny.
Your name is Manny.
My name Hanley?
No.
Oh, 35 years, I'd be so confused. Hey, Hanley Ramirez. Hi, hit home run. Here I come. I'm going to hit home run from outfield. All right. Manny Ramirez, love baseball. I'm back.
You're Manny Ramirez. That has not changed. You are still Manny. You are still retired. We're talking about the new Dodger, Hanley Ramirez. That's who we're talking about here from the Marlins.
A different player. Not you.
This guy hit a triple, by the way, in his first at-bat as the Dodgers. Welcome to town.
I'm swag.
I'm sorry, Manny. We apologize for the confusion. Your names are similar.
Manny Ramirez has a balloon.
Right, but you're not playing baseball anymore.
Manny Ramirez loves baseball.
Right, but you're out of it. I mean,
you're retired.
All right.
You had a good run.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to be an all-star.
I love it.
Hall of Fame?
Manny Ramirez go ride my Vespa, and Manny Ramirez go to Chuck E. Cheese. Have a good time.
Okay, good.
Manny Ramirez have a horn. All right. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Manny.
I pooped my pants the other day.
Okay.
It's true.
All right.
Manny Ramirez go up to his wife. I say, hey, Manny Ramirez's wife, I just been boom boom in my pants. And she said, okay, get the baby wipe. I said, don't you think I should get in the shower? Because Manny Ramirez do a lot of boom boom. Manny Ramirez, big guy.
Okay,
Manny Ramirez, dreadlock and big butt.
All right, so
I go in the shower, and what's in there? Rubber ducky. Rubber ducky, you're the one.
Okay,
I have a pet dog.
Right.
I have a pet dog. It's very pretty. And when Manny Ramirez cook the bacon, the dog will come running. I say, you want some of the bacon, don't you, doggy? He say, yes, I do. Rough. I have a horn.
Okay.
Manny
All right,
Ramirez
Manny.
Shaking the dreads.
Go back to whatever it is you were doing. Sorry for the confusion, but thank you for saying hello to us.
Oh.
What?
Okay. Are you okay?
All right.
I have a boner.
Doesn't it seem like it's been a while since we've talked to Vince Vaughn, Kevin?
Seems like forever.
Seems like it's been a long time. Dude's been laying a little bit low, but he is back with a new movie called The Watch, opening up everywhere tomorrow. And on TV tonight, behind the scenes as an executive producer, very fancy, of a new show on TBS at 10 o'clock called Sullivan and Son. Vince Vaughn, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
How you been? Good to be with you guys.
We're very good.
We've been
good.
Tell us about being an executive producer of a new show. Did you come up with it? And are you hands-on? And is this the first time?
You know, I have a bunch of friends who are stand-up comedians. I have one friend whose name is Steve Byrne, who's very, very funny. He's Korean and Irish, and he was always saying to me, boy, you know, I love to get into acting, and I'm just not getting the opportunities. Steve, I don't think there's going to be a windfall of Korean-Irish parts coming anytime soon. Probably kind of come up with your own show and your own idea. And so I really came out of just wanting to help my friend. So he came up with the premise for the show. TBS was great, and we put a bunch of other funny stand-up comics on it, and a lot of other, you know, good actors and a good cast around him, and the show turned out really good.
Now, if you don't mind my asking, how do you know how to be an executive producer?
Well, I produced a lot of stuff. I mean, the first thing I produced was the movie Made with Favreau, the first time he directed, and then, you know, I produced The Breakup and Couples Retreat, and I've done on the film side quite a bit.
I didn't know all that.
DB was just, I like to keep it under the hat. You gentlemen know that about me.
Yeah, well, Kevin, you know, Kevin is guilty of what so many Americans are, Vince, which is just thinking that you're a pretty face, you know, an empty suit with nothing going on up there. But in fact, you're wheeling and dealing behind the scenes.
Well, he's got very good taste, and he knows that I'm that pretty face, and I love the wheel and deal.
What is it, Vince? Because we've talked to you many times over the years about your Wild West comedy show that you took out on tour and everything. What is it about, because you have so many friends who are into stand-up, what is it about that that is so attractive to you, besides the obvious that I love to laugh? You seem to be just enamored of that occupation for some reason.
You know, I really don't always love stand-up. There's nothing worse than going to a bad stand-up show, but I like... you know, I had friends when I was younger that were stand-ups, and I thought it was really it was always hard for them. You know, they're always traveling and doing stuff. So the live comedy show became a fun thing for me, where I would go do live sketch comedy and stuff like that. And they would do stand-up, and it just became, you know, performing live is very different. So it's fun to make movies and do that stuff, but getting up in front of an audience and putting on a live show was a lot of fun.
All right, we're going to talk about The Watch in 1 second, but first, tell us what Sullivan and Son is.
Well, Sullivan and Son, he plays a guy who lives in New York, who's kind of, his mom is Korean first-generation immigrant, so he's got a lot of pressure to sort of be successful, and the dad's an Irish-American who just a little bit laid back, and so he kind of quits his job in New York, moves back home, and takes over the family bar. And then it's about all the people that are in the bar and the people that are there. Dan Loria from the Wonder Years, he plays the father. Christine Ebersol plays like a older bar patron who likes the men a little too much, and her son also is there at the bar, a stand-up comedian, Owen Benjamin. And it's really about all their lives and sort of the interplay that happens between all of them.
And the beautiful thing about a bar set scene, of course, Cheers is probably still the gold standard of programs set in bars, is that there's a lot of room to move funny people in and out through there. It kind of works itself very naturally to as situations can go in any direction that you want, because the door can always open for the next guy.
You're absolutely right. You know, Rob Long, who used to be one of the guys who ran Cheers, runs our show, is the showrunner. And Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly, he does a guest spot in a couple weeks on our show. John Michael Higgins is one of my favorite actors.
Oh, he's hilarious. Are you going to be on it too, Vince?
I'm not going to do a guest spot on it, but I might do something next year.
We're talking to Vince Vaughn here on the Kevin Bean Show about Sullivan and Son, new show on TBS debuting tonight at 10. And as I mentioned, it seems like you've been laying low a little bit. I know you always have things in the pipeline. You've probably got 5 projects that you're working on that we'll see in the future. But we haven't seen much of you even on the big screen in the last couple of years. But you're back.
I took some time off. I had done so much for so long that I took time off. I got married and I didn't have a baby, but I watched my wife have our baby. And so I just took some time to be with my wife and with my baby. And so then I did The Watch, and now I'm calling you guys from Atlanta. Me and Owen Wilson are doing another movie together.
Fantastic.
Called The Internship, which is fun. And then after this, I'm going to do another movie in New York. So I'm doing a bunch now. I took 2 years off just for when my wife had the baby, just to kind of be with them.
Nice. Hey, we thought you had circles under your eyes before. Having a 2-year-old, man, look out.
Oh, geez. I got that went from carry-on to full-on baggage claim.
The Watch, as we mentioned, opens up tomorrow. You're back with your good friend Ben Stiller. You guys have done a bunch of movies together. Starsky and Hutch, The Dodgeball, Zoolander. You guys work great together. And what I love about you two, and this really comes across on the screen, it seems like you're trying as hard as you can to crack each other up, and it's just infectious.
Yeah, that's fun. And, you know, Jonah Hill's in the movie, too, and I've always liked his stuff. He's so funny. And every day was really fun to come to the set and see what these guys were going to come up with. So the director is Akiva Schaffer. He's the guy who directed all those Lonely Island SNL shorts.
Which are so great.
Yeah, those are so funny. And he set up a good environment. You know, we had a really good script that Seth and Evan wrote. And the script was really funny, but we played around and improvised, and the movie turned out really, really funny. So it was a lot of fun.
Tell us who Richard Ayoade is. I don't know who that is.
He's awesome. He's an English actor. He's very popular in England. He's also a director. He directed a smaller movie called Submarine that I think Ben Stiller presented here in America. And so he plays the fourth member of The Watch, and he's hilarious.
Every time I see the sign driving down the street, I see the billboard, and I go, know him. I'm not familiar with that guy. The thing about The Watch,
this is his first film, but he's really funny in the movie, and people really like him.
Great. The thing that I love about The Watch, Vince, and we'll let you go with this, and you're great at doing this, is you insisted on an R-rated comedy. And thank God guys like you are willing to stand up and say to the movie company, I know you might make more money with a PG-13, but trust me, it'll be funnier if we can make it an R, right?
No question. And what was badass about this was they had offered me the script about 2 years ago when it was PG-13, and I said no, and Stiller said no, and a lot of people did. And then they came back with an R rating it. And what I've never seen before is the movie, I've never seen a movie that's a big movie that deals with, you know, in this movie, it's guys who are in this community, and then they think there's a problem in the community, and then it turns out that there's aliens.
Right.
So they always play that very safe and go PG-13. But to have that type of genre where the action's cool and the effects are real, but to do it R, I hadn't seen before. And that's really what made the movie feel kind of reckless and fun to go do. So it wasn't just me on this one. It was Stiller and Jonah. Nobody really wanted to do it unless it was R. So, you know, the movie really benefits from that.
Did you ever think you'd be involved in a sci-fi movie? I mean, basically, Vince Vaughn on screen versus aliens, that has to be the furthest thing from your career arc that you expected, right?
You know, I have been offered stuff in the past, but it always felt so sincere and kind of earnest and kind of, so this, I think, in being a comedy and being art, felt a lot more kind of fun, and this one made a lot more sense.
Yeah, well, it looks awesome. It is called The Watch. It opens up everywhere tomorrow.
How have you gentlemen been? What's been happening with you, gentlemen?
We've been very good. You know, yeah. We just try to keep a show on the air in between visits from Vince Vaughn. I mean, that's all we do. Everything else is just treading water, you know?
My favorite show. You know that. How about your family? Is everything good?
Everything good. Yeah.
I love into this.
Yes. All of a sudden, we're being interviewed. We're all good.
It's called sharing, guys. And I want you to get comfortable with it. It's time to start breaking down this wall.
I like it. We're in a share circle with Vince Vaughn all of a sudden. We weren't expecting that. Seriously, come see us sometime, Vince. Come hang out with
sure.
us.
Next
we would
time,
love that.
Next time I'm in L.A. When I do the movie with Owen, I'll come in studio.
Please yeah, do. That would be awesome. Sullivan and Son. Vince is the executive producer of that tonight at 10 on TBS. It does look very, very funny. A lot of funny people in that. A lot of different funny people in The Watch, which opens up everywhere in theaters this week. And Vince, you're the best, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
One more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. I want to start with a Twitter story. And by the way, I'm very upset that Twitter has been on and off today. It's been down for like an hour at a time. And
it's like kind of crazy.
I don't want to live in a back up.
You're like Rain Man.
I didn't even know it was gone.
You're like Rain Man.
I don't want to live in a world where there's no Twitter.
Got a Twitter.
I like to stay current. You know, I like to stay current.
Got a tweet. Got a Twitter.
It's not even that I wanted to tweet. It's just I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss anything that's going on in the world.
Need tweets.
But here's a Twitter story. I don't know if you guys. I don't think we've talked about this, but there's a Twitter feud going on that I think you guys are going to find hilarious.
Love it.
Kevin, you may be the only one in the room who knows who Drake Bell is.
Sure.
From the Nickelodeon show. What's it called? Josh and Drake?
Yep.
He's Drake of Josh and Drake.
Okay.
Well, he made the mistake of making fun of Justin Bieber on Twitter. And you can't make fun of Justin Bieber on Twitter because he has, what, 25 million Twitter followers or something like that?
I believe so.
Very, very protective of their guy. He was criticizing. He started out by criticizing Katy Perry, which we're all against. Nobody should make fun of Katy Perry.
Dare he?
He was complaining about her making a movie, saying, you know, she hasn't lived long enough to do a film of a biographical movie. And then he said, I'm just kidding. I'm not really making fun of Katy. But Bieber, that's a different thing. So that's when the floodgates opened and he started getting death threats on Twitter, right? For instance, this Justin Bieber fan wrote, Drake Bell, when will you actually realize that Justin's hair costs more than your house? Burned.
So you can tell
these are 7-year-olds.
Right. So Drake pushes back, offers Bieber guitar lessons, just starts making fun of him left and right, which I think is hilarious. Then again with the death threats, I think we should stone Drake Bell and throw his body into a pit. It goes on and on and on. So eventually Drake tweets this. I haven't listened to much Justin Bieber, but his songs must be full of hate and rage because that's what his believers are filled with. So he basically is, you know, making fun of the people who are making fun of him at this point. And finally, Justin himself went on and tweeted to over his 25 million followers, Drake and Josh was my favorite show as a kid, really. And that may be the end of it. I think Justin may have brought some peace to the world here.
That's what he's known for.
That's certainly what he's known for, yes.
Bringing peace.
But it is so hilarious, though, that, and I don't care who you're a fan of, that you would go on and threaten to kill someone because they're making fun of somebody that you happen to be a fan of. There's nothing funnier to me than that.
Right, except for that I think it really does. It really is a super young thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are a lot of 25-year-olds that if you make fun of what they like, they'll go, I'll kill you.
Right. Although I will tell you that some of these videos that I've seen and some of these tweets that people have been writing about the Kristen Stewart breakup, these Twilight fans look like they're well into their 20s.
Yeah.
And they're taking it seriously and threatening, you know, making death threats and the whole deal because she cheated on beautiful Rob Pattinson.
Speaking of which, she's People Magazine reports that she issued a public apology to Robert Pattinson after having a momentary indiscretion, quote unquote. The director of Snow White and the Huntsman, who, by the way, his wife was in it and played Kristen Stewart's mom.
Yay! That hurts.
In the movie.
So she's saying that it was just a momentary lapse. She's very sorry. Everything that's important to her is Rob Pattinson. And then the director came out and said, it was just a momentary lapse. Everything that's important to him is his wife and family. And I'm here to say this. How does Kristen Stewart cause all of this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
what don't we get?
Of all the people who should be upsetting marriages, she would be at the very bottom of that list.
I know.
I would think that the director's wife, this model, Liberty Ross, would never have to worry about her husband cheating on her with Kristen Stewart.
Right.
Because look at her, right?
Yeah. Right, and look at her.
Right.
Plus, look at her.
Right. We haven't heard yet, by the way, whether the family is breaking up, the director and his wife are breaking up, or that Kristen Stewart and Rob are breaking up. We still don't know what the answer to that question is.
Rob Pattinson was on the show earlier this morning, and he had a couple of songs. Didn't sound very positive.
That's true.
Yeah, it did sound like there was trouble in paradise. So. Here's a Matthew McConaughey story I hadn't seen before. He was talking to Larry King, who, by the way, is back not on television, but on a new web series. He's doing interviews like he used to do for CNN for a site called Aura TV, and he's getting some great guests this first couple of weeks out. Anyway, he's interviewing Matthew McConaughey.
Is he crazy like he used to be? Still?
I mean, look, he's not always as prepared as you might like an interviewer to be, but I think he's entertaining.
He's me when I get older.
Matthew McConaughey has an upcoming role where it's called the Dallas Buyers Club. It's a serious movie. He's going to be playing a patient suffering from AIDS. He needs to lose 30 pounds
McConaughey?
For that role. McConaughey, what? Who is rock hard. There's not.
Fat
on him.
Take it easy.
I'm saying I don't think he's got to be one of these guys. You've seen him, guys. He never has a shirt on. He looks like he already has 1% body fat.
Yeah.
How does a guy like that even begin to lose 30 pounds?
I don't know.
How do you recover from that physically? I mean, I remember, you know, even when Christian Bale lost all that weight for The Machinist, I mean, it took him years to come back from that. I mean, I think that deals are, when you get down, when you're one of these guys who gets down to 90 pounds or something,
right.
I think that affects the rest of your life. I really do. Anyway, he is looking forward to the dramatic weight loss as a spiritual and mental cleanse, he says.
But imagine gaining it back. How fun would that be?
That would be fun. That'd be really good.
That'd be so great. Kim Kardashian might be more delusional than we thought. Porn star Kim Kardashian, RadarOnline.com says that she has been bragging to friends that she's, quote, more famous than Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, and Gwyneth Paltrow combined.
I disagree with the combined.
I disagree with Angelina Jolie alone.
I don't know. She's pretty famous now.
Yeah, but Angelina Jolie's been a movie star. She's been overseas.
She's been overseas promoting her purses.
I guess. And they're also saying that that's why 72 days was as long as she gave Chris Humphries, because he was not upping her profile like she had hoped, which is why she's now with Kanye, if you believe Radar Online, because he's got a much bigger following and she needs to be more famous. And so that's why she wants to get married to him.
Mm-hmm. So he can have her.
Sir. Yeah.
And finally, England's Damson Dean Hotel is in the news. They are running a bed and breakfast out there. And like with many hotels in our country and around the world, you check in and there's a Bible in the bedside table. Not in this hotel. They've replaced the Bibles with Book of Mormon.
50 Shades of Grey.
Huh? 50 Shades of Grey. The softcore porn novel, mommy porn as they call it, 50 Shades of Grey, is now available in every hotel room, which I think is a hilarious choice. He says people weren't really reading the Bibles that much. I think it would be the hospitable thing to do to make this book that people do want to read available to our guests. Apparently, if some of them are a little bit shy about buying it because of its reputation. As you can imagine, there are religious people in the neighborhood who are very upset by the change. But he says, I don't have anything against the Bible. I'll make it available at the front desk. If somebody wants to ask me for one, I can give them one. But 50 Shades of Grey is the most popular book in the world right now, and that's the one I'm putting in the hotel. So there you go.
How about that? Celebrity birthday, singer Mick Jagger, 69 years old. Still an amazing frontman.
Yeah.
Actress Helen Mirren is 67. Tired of hearing how hot she is. Just tired of it. Drummer Roger Taylor of Queen, 63. Kevin Spacey is 53. Sandra Bullock is 48. Lindbergh, the lead singer of Pennywise, is 47. Jeremy Piven is also 47. Kate Beckinsale. More, please.
You're going to break that.
More, please.
Not using my hands either.
It's 39. Chris Harrison of The Bachelor is 41. And singer Taylor Momsen of Pretty Reckless is 19 years old. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Skipper Bivens, Bean. Skipper Bivens.
What's his show?
Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
Oh,
have you seen it?
No.
It is unbelievable. They just go out to these little holes where, I don't know, they're carp or what they are, but they just put their hands down and grab fish.
That's, why what is that, a sport?
Why? I don't know.
And a
why
show?
Is that a show?
It's a show, first of all.
Why not use a fishing rod in real? Why not that?
I don't have the answer to that. We'll have to, that'll have to be question one. But he's training his daughter in how to do it. She's relatively hot. She puts her hand down there. You don't know what's going to be down there. And grabs a fish and pulls it up.
Doesn't it seem like catching fish with your bare hands is something you do only if you have no tools at your disposal?
Yes. Okay. 100 years ago.
Right.
But they're doing it today. And there's a TV show about it, which is awesome because they're so backwoods, you can't even imagine.
I can't wait.
We got the Mr. Movie Phone with a movie beat because it's Friday, and we have Akiva Schaffer in the studio, who, of course, is the director of the Lonely Island videos and also The Watch.
Okay.
So that's tomorrow morning, along with your tickets for the red carpet world premiere of Total Recall tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.